Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy. What's up, motherfuckers? I'm Matty Studios.
I'm Jason Alt, you bunch of cock enjoyers.
I'm JR.
And I am Slick Jagger, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we have a loaded docket for you. We're going to talk about a bunch of boring finance bullshit, then we're going to answer a bunch of your bullshit questions, and you're going to laugh about it.
I like this.
Are you guys excited?
I like the list going. I'm super excited. All I have to say is JR had the best intro out of all of you, so next time we do this again, if it ever happens, we have to bring the energy of saying your name as just like, I'm JR. So I expect higher things from you, JR, as the cast progresses, but that was low ball.
Have you heard how he introduces himself on our cast, man? It always starts out, hello, friends. And then it just gets more aggressive from there. It just
I know. I love that we're coming in low, and then it's just by the time Kevin Metal gets here, then shit's through the
rotation.
Roof.
Sometimes I go with Nanu Nanu. The Mork from Mork reference, the sad wow. Sad Mork from Mork reference. Sometimes I'll give a Kennedy like air.
Wow. So. do you ever throw the welcome back Cotter in there just to?
No.
Okay. For Proxy Guy, he'll get that reference. But welcome everybody. This is an episode of Heavy Meta, or maybe it's an episode of Money Draft. I don't know.
I think we outnumbered you. You're on our cast.
I know. Actually, it's funny that I'm recording my cast, but I'm really just on your cast right now, which is totally sweet with me.
Wait, is there a docket? Because if there's no docket, it's not Money Draft.
There's no docket. Does it account that there's a docket for a Twitter hole?
Literally, no? The only reason that this is a Heavy Meta episode and not a Money Draft episode is because there's no docket.
Okay. I'm pretty sure. I mean, for a while there, we started to adopt the docket, and then we realized that that's trademarked, and we just couldn't pay the extra fees for it. So I totally respect you guys on that count. But let's jump right into it. Let's talk about what's going on in the Magic world. I don't know. Should we even do that? Is that a thing now?
I don't know if there's anything going on.
I mean, there was the giant fuck you to the ban list, but I think that's been worked through the community's blood right now, and 3 days, 4 days later,
the ban list update wasn't that bad. Prophet of Crufix needed to go, guys. It needed to happen.
Cloud of Fairies was really, polluting the Pauper format. So
if you play Pauper, you're a fucking retard anyway. Like, kill yourself if you play Pauper.
I normally I don't side with Jason Alt on this, but like Pauper, come on.
Cloud of Fairies. Get some fucking money together and play a real format. I can't afford a booster draft, so I'm playing Pauper.
You guys got a lot of strong rhetoric against Pauper, okay? And that format is
this is money draft. I don't have any money draft.
It's not cheap.
That's true.
Pauper decks are more expensive than standard decks on Modo half the time.
What?
Modo, shit.
Are you phases cost, bro? They're like $35.
That's absurd. Then you're doing it backwards. Then you're just a fool. You're playing a shitty format, and you're paying way too much for it.
That's the thing. It's not a shitty format. Right. It's a great format.
All right. I'll take your challenge. I will borrow a deck.
I will trade you an entire Pauper Infect deck after this cast, and I will go nuts.
I don't even want to play Infect in Modern, and now you're convincing me to play in Pauper.
What do you
want to
play?
Boggles?
Time. You want to play Soul Sisters? You seem like a Soul Sister.
Wow, you're all tier 4 decks in Modern. Sweet.
I tied,
bro. Let's jump off of Pauper for a minute, and let's touch on one thing, because I know you guys get excited about EDH, or at least Jason does.
I'm fully erect already.
I know, right? Like, They banned Prophet, which I don't play ADH and I don't really get it that much, but would you consider this a ban equal to Splinter Twin? Like, did they take out the best deck?
You can't even say that. Neuter an ADH deck like that. This took out 1% of like hundreds of decks, but it didn't. Like, there are people like, yeah, all right, that's legit. They'll jam Seedborn Muse, or they're like, well, fuck, I got a billion Hydras I was trying to damn in this deck anyway. Like, if you're playing blue-green, you're playing Prophet of Krufix because it allowed you to cheat, but it didn't enable any deck. Because you can't really build that way in EDH. It's not four copies in a 60-card deck. It's one copy in a 100-card deck. You can't ever rely on any one card. So a ban isn't that bad.
Let's just say one thing. Seaborn Muse 10th edition just went through the fucking roof, which, I mean, I guess obviously black-bordered, the only version for EDH players, right? Pimpus-looking version's got to go through.
I'm surprised it was still down there, Seaborn Muse. But
That's not EDH players buying those. That's speculators being like, oh, Seaborn Muse. Yeah, buy Vettelkin Orrery while you're at it, you fucking retards. Like, nobody's gonna jam Seaborn Muse and be as happy because you can't play the shit on their turn. That's why Prophet was broken.
So it wasn't a surprise, though, right? Because we talked about it like 5 quarters ago, I think.
Now, that's been a card that's been on their orange list or whatever. But they basically...
They have a list?
Yeah, well, they've got cards that everybody in the community fucking bitches about.
Do they honestly? Because I didn't know that. If they had a list, this is something that, like, Saffron Olive, one of my all-time favorite writers, wink, wink.
Shut up, dude.
Him and Chaz were actually trying to push... which something that I brought up a long time ago. I'm like, if you're gonna ban cards in Modern, I would love to have like a watch list where you have a rating next to a card. So Splinter Twin, 90% likely to be banned next.
That's
board.
Something that the French EDH rules started. There's no official list, but there's cards that everybody knew were on were being heavily considered by the rules committee.
And I feel like Splinter Twin was like a weird. Maybe a unique case where it
that's a poster child.
Yeah, power level definitely. But
that's a poster child. That was the poster child for Modern. Like that's what's
exactly.
So weird.
Exactly. It's as though they signaled that this was your benchmark combo. Like this is what what's allowed. This is what you get.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. Yeah. I mean, obviously, and I love the change. You know, it opens up space for all these.
I'll say this because I know our last episode sparked a shit ton of emotion and passion and people jumping on sides of the argument, which is great. I, you know, like if it encourages conversation.
It didn't spark shit for me.
Well, you didn't give a shit because you're shooting guns and that's all you care about. But I wanted to say two things, and that is, okay, I get it that, you know, Modern, the ban list that Wizards is using. They're doing under other motivations than besides shaking up the format. So the argument that Aaron Forsyth dropped on Twitter was that, hey, it's going to increase ratings. And that, I mean, obviously I'm reading between the lines. Corbin has fought, you know, very well to showcase Wizards of the Coast side and the argument over it, which, you know, I'm not for or against Splinter Twin ban. I just feel it was weird. I don't know. You're asking the question. Here, this is the thing.
I know why this month. I don't know why this year.
Exactly. Right? Now, Splinter Twin was on the decline in terms of popularity. Now, they group Grixis decks and basically anything running those colors as Splinter Twin. But here's the weird thing. The argument was that they want to increase viewership. That's why they do it, right? But yet they're holding the Pro Tour on Super Bowl weekend.
That's ridiculous. And also,
I mean, I don't know what to say.
What does that even mean? If their Twitch viewership goes from 20,000 to 25,000, do they even monetize that in any way? Or like,
no. And here's the retarded...
No. Hold on, Maddie. Hold on, because this is the real shit. Because now it's getting extremely popular, right? A year ago, Amazon bought Twitch. For $950 million, okay? And the Hasbro people started to take notice of that. And they look, and they're seeing the top games on Twitch. Because that's the gold standard for gaming right now, is your viewer count.
Agreed, 100%.
So if Magic breaks into the top five games watched,
they're never
going to
do it.
And the thing is that if Magic breaks to the top five on things viewed, and then somebody goes in and checks, and the SCG stream has 5,000 more viewers than the Wizard stream, you better believe they're getting their asses chewed out. You better believe
Two things. Hold on. I know everyone has good topics, but I just want to, quick points. Two things. One, the best modern stream is SCG Live. Hands down, I don't agree, no matter how you fuck with the format. SCG's consistency, now they did let Patrick go, and there's some new dudes in there, and I'm not totally in love with them yet, but I'm going to give them some time. But their modern streams were crushing Wizards. Wizards had a limited GP, Modern was on, and it wasn't even close. So the argument that we need to, you know, showcase Standard and Limited to sell sets is great, but the truth is people don't want to watch that. So if your goal is to grow eyeballs, then give the people what they fucking want to watch. If your job is to sell fucking product, just be fucking honest with me. Don't play games. So don't fuck my format up because you want to increase viewership and then be like, oops, we also fucked up because we put it on Super Bowl weekend. Well, no, so
they want to do that. Also, yeah, they did it. And basically when I read Forsythe's tweets and I read between the lines, what I got from what he was saying today was, you know what, man? You guys asked for the modern PT back, so this is how we're going to do it. Get wrecked, nerds.
I get that they're pissing. They are pissing in our mouth for asking for this, 100%. I agree, yes. I totally could see a situation where they're sitting around a boardroom and they're like, I don't want to fucking do this. We don't want to do this. But you know what? Those fucking players, it's always their fault. So let's give them what they want.
Hey, you got your modern PT, you fucking cocksuckers.
Yeah, he's just like writing Giacomo on a fucking name tag, slapping it on a dummy in the corner, and they're all taking turns kicking in it in the fucking crotch.
Knock
I get it.
Out.
Knock yourself out, brother. But, are those bones in there? No, I
think it's.
I'm just saying.
I think even the whole ratings thing doesn't ring that true to me still. Like, and I feel part of it is, and I never agree when you use this word, Maddie, when you say something's elitist, but the idea that you would change a whole format just for 450 people for 3 days to give them a slightly better experience over those 3 days when that Pro Tour didn't even exist a couple years ago, the fifth Pro Tour.
I'll give you this. Someone just brought this idea up. Sorry that I don't remember your fucking Twitter handle, but they were like, hey, if the idea was for eyeballs over format fucking, why don't you just change for the Pro Tour? So just make it, hey, pros.
Yeah.
Splinter Twins banned. Yeah. But in reality, it's not banned.
Is that stipulation?
And then, and then everyone's like, yeah, but the problem with that is no one's going to watch that shit because it's not real. It's hard. It's not an easy situation to fix. I personally believe that it's less about the format that is there than how you present it. So I'm not sure.
I want Rochester drafts back on Pro Tour streams. So, you know,
I mean, maybe they could
Limited is boring,
but they could do like one third limited, one third unpowered cube, and one third modern. So that way you can't bitch about only one third of the Pro Tours.
I actually think that's brilliant. Oh my God, if they went with the SCG Invitational format where every Pro Tour was a little bit of every format, I'd actually really like that. I think that would be very awesome.
My God, if
100% agree.
If they ever sanctioned a cube draft, holy shit, man.
I should have asked Finkel about that, actually, because I think powered cube would be too much. That would be too swingy, but unpowered, they might like that.
Unpowered cube with the mana rocks, though, man. Fuck
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I think cube, actually, we had that on the, what is it, the, I keep forgetting the confused, not the world championship, the Magic, the player champion. That was actually really awesome. I would love to watch that, but unfortunately that doesn't sell product. So everything Wizards does is going to sell product. And the argument that, hey, if it doesn't sell product, then fuck you. That's just crazy. I think there's a balance between, you know, entertainment and, pushing the brand.
I think you identify it last time. I think they just need to shift their monetization more towards modern, and it's not like you're going to overturn and, you know, have Standard be beneath modern, but just like small incremental steps so that we're not in such a place in a couple of years where people, they feel like they're just being put through the ringer, and other people are like, whoa, what are you talking about? And it's like, dude, like every day, like a card spikes, and I feel like I'm going to get screwed if I'm not paying attention to prices every day. Like Maddie was saying, like you're forced, like on the fucking weekend of the pre-release, you were forced to think about Modern and like, you know, to and not get screwed by the cards you had or the cards that were about to spike. And like literally, my friend Tony texted me that morning. He was like, hey, you want to come to the pre-release? And I was like, no, I'm just like staying at home thinking about Modern and cards. Like,
you're the poster child for Modern. Hey, you going to come play Magic? Nah, I gotta sit at home and run some spreadsheets to make sure that it's worth the value. You know what?
Yeah, those 100% agree are real, with that. Man.
They are. And the biggest thing I wanted to get over is a lot of the reaction to some of the vitriol that I was spewing is the – I'm going to put air quotes around this. The finance people are like, well, you know what? You just have to get with the game and it's not our fault. And that's what it is. And you know what? I agree. Part of it is that's the new reality and I'm not going to fight it. I'm not stupid. I get it, but it's draining, you know? So there's just a point at which every person draws a line in the sand and they're like, this is too much. This isn't magic to me anymore. This is just another job.
And I think that's the thing. Everyone draws their own line. So for me, like one of my lines is like, if I want to mention a card, I'm not going to mention it because it's has low supply. Cause that's just like, you're going beyond journalism there. You're being part of the act of the spike. And sure, it might've spiked or it might've gone up to that new level 2 months later. But that matters. That matters that it happened, you know, 2 months sooner or whatever.
Okay, I gotta call you out on this because for the longest time, finance casts have said these words: if we could change the direction of a card based on talking about it, then we would have done it already. So you can't now say that not talking about the card is not affecting the price. The truth is either if you talk or not talk about it, what's happening? So who's correct there? And I think that's a little weird where I believe if you talk about a card, it generates buzz. If you are of a certain tier in terms of trust in the community, then you can 100% move cards. I believe that. And it's true. You look at like Goldfish. I love those guys. I think they're awesome. But if they start running decks and putting all kinds of shit, people jump on it. Wedge jumps on it. Rogue Deck Builder jumps on it. And other people jump on it. Not because they're copying them. It's just because they're like, that's interesting. Let's make content about it. And then you have a cascade effect of like, wow, there's 50 videos about this new Eldrazi deck. Oh, wow. Eldrazi deck spike. So, I mean,
yeah,
information is why things move.
But the line to me is, and Stony Silence, like the spreadsheet is real, and I had a Stony. It wasn't in my spreadsheet. It wasn't in my spreadsheet because it was a 50-cent card 2-3 years ago. So I've had one, and I was like, "Oh man, that's cool. I just found, you know, five. Now it's $10." But the difference is like, there's a big difference between when the morning on Saturday when Twin was banned, going out and saying, "Hey, you know what? Affinity and Tron is going to be heavy in this meta. Stony Silence is a good card, I think." There's a difference between that and fucking 2 days later saying, oh, hey, I noticed that the price is going up and the supply is drying up. You might want to – like, that's just garbage.
Buying a ton of copies and being like, wow, the supply is really down.
Yeah.
Which absolutely bullshit tier finance wannabe people have been doing. That's like – that's the reason we banned those kind of posts on the MTG Finance subreddit until they were recently unbanned again.
I mean, I'll say this. A lot of people have had very passionate opinions about this whole subject, and I really feel like there are people that if it's your if you're generating your source of income from it, then you're passionate from a perspective that is opposite to other people who's they just want to play a game, and they don't, you know, they're not trying to earn a living. And I understand both sides of that argument, and neither are wrong. That's the problem.
And if you
they don't just want to play a game. They also want to not have to pay attention. They want to never pay too much for their cards. They never want their cards up in price.
I don't know. That I think is an extreme viewpoint. I think a lot of people are comfortable paying a certain amount of money. But when a card goes from like Eldrazi Temple, it's 50 cents to like $10.
So
that's a lot.
Everybody was playing it.
Maddie, let me ask
you
this. So
yeah, hit me.
I understand like the accessibility of formats is something that you're very passionate about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, In simple brackets, they can be as wide as you think they should be. But I want you to tell me what you think the median price for a standard deck should be, the median price for a modern deck should be, and the median price for a legacy deck.
Okay, so Proxy Guy tried to do that, and I don't feel that that's a constructive argument. What I will say is this. Is the current supply of cards, because like finance guys love to do this. They say supply and demand, and they don't want to talk about numbers. They just want to, if supply is too high, the price will drop. If demand is too high, the price will go up. So let's talk those. Is supply enough for modern? No, it's not. I don't think anyone can argue that. And so I believe that, very simple, I don't want $5 cards. I don't want everyone to have every deck for free. That then defeats the purpose of the game, and there's no point in getting it.
Does it?
I understand
that. Does it? Yeah, that statement that you just made seems to contradict a lot of what you feel. Because
it doesn't. That's what's weird. Okay, so do I want every deck to be $5? No, that's... If I could have a whole deck for $5, that's 100% not what I've ever said. I've never even said that. All I've ever said is I want continued sustained pressure on the modern environment because it's growing. And so if we had a Modern Masters every year, that's not going to make decks $5. In fact, if you look at what Modern Masters does, I don't even know. I think the format would grow initially, and I don't think prices would drop at all initially. I think it would take maybe a year, maybe two, maybe 3 years before you start to see the fear alleviated and also the speculation alleviated out of the marketplace, where you don't see people trying to spec on cards. They're like, yeah, you know what? There's another Modern Masters coming out this year. Fuck it. I'm not going to go in on these cards. It's got a very high likelihood of reprinting. And I think that's what we need. It's stability. I want to take the lows and the highs out of the marketplace. What I don't want is $5 decks. I've never said that, ever. I just think $1,000 or $1,500 decks is what I look at. I think that's crazy. I also think Standard's crazy. I think Magic in general is crazy. I think more people realize as they join this game that it's not about playing Magic. It's about being smart with your money. It's about knowing when to get in and get out and to play this game for free. And that is another level to this game.
Yeah, and we teach playing people how to do that. And if they don't listen to our podcast, learn how to do that, fuck them.
But unfortunately, that is also part of the finance community's angle, where they're like, fuck you if you can't keep up. And that is then adds a level to game. So to me, to play my deck isn't about how well or when should I cast Thoughtseize. It's, did I buy Thoughtseize at the right price? And I think that's weird. If I look back in history, it's been there since the beginning, right? Magic has cost money. It's a collectible card game. It didn't used to feel like this, though. So from an emotional standpoint, I don't remember it feeling like this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've got thousands of DMs now, emails up my ass about people that are like, I feel the same way as you. So who knows? I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people are hitting a limit personally, where they're just like, this is not Magic anymore.
So I'm going
to
say, not,
I think that's part of it, though.
I do too.
Take your poor ass to Moto. I don't know what to tell you.
I'll say what I said on the Not Another Magic podcast recently, which was, you know what? Just learn to love limited. Please, all of you out there, draft more. Stop fucking complaining about constructed. It's awful. And if you draft, you sell your cards right back, minimal investment. If the draft format sucks, you know what? You start to invest in a cube, because if you draft often enough, you're just going to start winning, because people are bad at limited. They're just bad at limited because they're too concerned about their goddamn Splinter Twins and their fucking Prophet of Kruphix to give a damn about half of the game of Magic. So I'm just saying.
But is it even half the game anymore? I don't think limited is even half the game. I think half the game is finance. I think most people realize that finance now is half the fucking game.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think constructed is another. But I don't believe that most people. When I was at the draft, here's what's crazy. So I went to Face, played two flights of Oath, which I found was just fucking Allies or Eldrazi, which I don't know. It wasn't very exciting to me. The funny thing is, though, I saw a guy open a foil Thought-Not Seer, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. What are you going to do? He's like, oh, I'm totally not selling this. I know this thing is worth like $50. I'm going to totally sell this for more. That was, he wasn't even, didn't even want to talk to me about how cool the card was in his deck or how it performed. All he gave a shit about was it was fucking money.
Yeah, but
that's
crazy.
That's because
that feels good. That's because that fucking feels good, man.
I mean, I guess financial rewards sure do feel good, but I'll tell you this: when everybody was cracking expeditions, they were like, I mean, at Battle for Zendikar, people were like freaking out. At this one, oh my god, three guys open expeditions. They were like, man, what is this worth? Like $60?
Yeah.
Like it was a totally different atmosphere.
I
was
shocked. Everybody
shocked.
In the store a fucking pour, pointed at my dick, stood up on a table and said, "So could I go to strip mine?" And I don't even need the money. That's what I do when I open an expedition.
You didn't open it, sir, you just did that.
No, that literally happened.
He just threw a whiteboard at strip mine in his deck and be like, yo, bitch.
I did get an expedition shirt. I tweeted a picture. You can suck my balls.
But no, it's true that Modern Masters 2015 did not have the effect on prices that was implicit when they introduce Modern Masters in the first place. Like it's implicit that there shouldn't be multiple $30 and $40 rares like less than 9 months after the product comes out. Like I feel like
I mean I just think we have to move away from a limited focus set, because I think the majority of people clearly want a reprint focus set. They don't want to be about giant limited and spirit tribal limited of shit that no one cares about. They really don't. If you want your limited fix, Slick, where are you going? You are not going to play Modern Masters for $10. You are playing Origins or anything else. You're not. So who's paying $10 to play limited Modern Masters 2015? No one.
Nah, man. Nah, you want to know why? Because honestly, it's not. That's not like Modern Masters 1 was one of the best limited formats I've ever played in my entire life. And I would happily sit across the table from seven other people and pay $30 every single draft to do that.
Okay.
What was your opinion
of Modern Masters 2015?
There's a lot of people, and I understand that.
Okay.
But
let's talk about Modern Masters 2015.
Modern Masters.
How much of a disappointment?
Kind of like hot garbage.
Thank you. The fact that here's the biggest disappointment. In Vegas, Luke cracks a box, drops $225 for a box. We crack it, we play it, everyone had a miserable time, and he opened nothing. It's a double whammy. The limited environment sucked ass, and you didn't open anything that was fucking awesome. So it's a huge failure. I just feel like my solution is very clear. Make Modern Masters more reprint heavy. I'm not saying throw everything in there.
Just do it yearly,
I'm
probably.
Just saying,
if they could do, they're dialing it in. And if they did it yearly, they would have more experience now, and it would be dialed in better by now.
Yep.
They just don't want another Chronicles. But like the undershot on the first set,
ridiculous.
The second set came a little closer to the amount of supply we needed. Honestly, I wouldn't give a fuck if they reprinted Tarmogoyf at regular rare. I think it's time to do that.
I wouldn't give a shit either.
I think it's time to do that.
Thank you. You're one
really
of the few.
Pricey, by the way.
No, no fucking finance people like Tarmogoyf so expensive that none of their customers can buy him. I don't want to trade for a card I'm going to sit on forever. I won't buy them from people at buy list.
Yeah,
because they like fuck
and
it.
And the Jun decks are like twice as expensive as everything else in the format. Like
I love having an actual finance guy here, because I got shit on by the finance community. But what my point was, I'm like, you can make a lot more money on the $10 rares than the $150 mythic.
Who was shitting on?
Right? Everyone. All the finance guys. All the goldfish guys were shitting on me for suggesting this. Cartel aristocrats, fucking whatever. The point is, these guys are all shitting on me because what I'm trying to say is, most people, it's about turnover. Can I sell a person a place? I know, right? It's not cool. But I'm just saying, like, I really feel like Jason gets it. I think they're very close to dialing in a yearly Modern release. Maybe make a Pro Tour around it.
I think they're going to alternate. I think it'll be Eternal Masters, then Modern Masters. I think it's going to alternate year.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
okay,
Eternal Masters
on.
Is definitely coming.
Is
this
that
summer.
Real? Is that real? I don't think that's real.
Wait till Atlanta comes out and they do this.
Right before the top eights
go to start, we're going to play you this shitty paper animation video showing some planeswalkers shitting around.
Honestly, I feel like that's garbage. I feel like they should just concentrate on modern and not spread
that's,
their.
That's what, honestly, that's what Conspiracy was. Conspiracy was fucking perfect because it gave us Legacy.
Was it?
Yeah, it gave us Legacy and EDH cards, and it was a really good limited format. Conspiracy was such a good fucking set.
No, don't you guys realize
that
the Eternal Masters is just their reaction to us complaining about Legacy 2 years ago, and that's how fast they move?
That's like, how fast
they move. Maybe we'll get yearly Modern Masters in 2018.
That's actually Slick could be right. Maybe this is like just a delayed reaction.
It is.
They don't have a ton of they got shit planned out and they're like, okay, we got one summer set to and it takes a while to develop the set. So what's our window? Fucking summer of 2019. Great, let's get on that. People are gonna be so fucking hype when we give them what they want. And everyone's like, oh, it's 2 years ago. Fuck you.
Yeah.
My $100 bill is folded wrong.
Here's the thing. Let's talk about one thing very quickly. If Eternal Masters is real, for it to be success, how can you have this set exist and not have Dual Lands in it? All that will do is make Dual Lands $1,000 a piece. Like, I don't understand how they don't choose this as a point in time when they say, fuck the reserve list, and print Dual Lands. Like, I feel like if you're going to do it, that's how you do it. I don't understand how the format... all this is going to do is make everyone super angry.
Yeah, they'll print,
don't
they'll,
you agree?
They'll print something that's nearly as good as what they'll do.
So like a hybrid new Dual Land? Actually, that'd be awesome.
Something nearly as good that won't ruin Limited and Standard, or they'll put it in a set like Conspiracy where it's not legal except
they,
in Legacy.
If they put it in
Eternal Masters and they just say, hey... The cards in this set are only legal in Vintage and Legacy. That's it.
And that limited format. And EDH.
Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. I actually have no problem with that.
There's nothing in the reserve list in that set that'll be fine.
Well, but that's the point. So if they're just going to create new shit plus maybe Force of Will, Jace... I don't know. Whatever they're allowed to print, I'm not even. Is Wasteland even allowed?
I don't think there'll be any new cards in the set.
Oh man, they'd have to. If Eternal's Master, like Proxy Guy and a few other people were saying, Eternal Masters is going to replace Modern Masters, which I don't believe. That's absurd.
Complete garbage.
They have sunk so much money into the Modern brand. Yeah, that's crazy. They won't do that. If they're going to do anything, they realize Modern is the quote Aaron. Modern is the fastest growing format by leaps and bounds next to Standard. So they're not going to wreck that branding. Yeah. Kevin is just like, I got nothing to say. I'm just
pounding fucking cocktails this whole time. Like, this is going to be a fun back end of the cash.
Well, they're only here for an hour, so I'm trying to get all
grown-ups
of all like
talking
out of
fuck. Time for Kevin to drink.
Yeah, grown-ups are talking magic stuff. I'm just going to get drunk. Like, this is exactly what it's like to hang out when we're all together hanging out in the same place. It's like, oh, they're having a grown-up conversation. I'm just going to get drunk until they stop talking about this, and then it'll get interesting.
Kevy's just remembering the war milk. That's all he's doing. Right.
Mm-hmm. That was
an awesome fucking night.
That war milk tasted so good when I was throwing it up later. In a bathroom with blood and broken glass everywhere.
I think it had to do with the fucking the gin bottle that we were drinking it out of.
Yeah, it smelled like gin, but it tasted like warm milk.
I got this weird idea in my head recently where I was just like, man, I haven't had molasses in my house for like 30 years or something. Like,
no one's had molasses in their house 200 years. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I feel like my mom.
No, molasses is used in baking, in barbecue sauce. See, Marcel and me would get it because I have a bottle of molasses. I use it in the summertime when I make barbecue sauce.
So I'm going to put some of that in war milk and see what that's like.
That's disgusting.
Ooh, that's hard.
That's so sugary.
I don't know.
The alcohol's already so sugary. I don't think you
need. There's not a good... If you dissolve the molasses in the alcohol before you add the milk, maybe that could work. But like, milk is a terrible solvent, and like, you would just end up with a glob of molasses.
Yeah. At the very end, it's got a creamy lump of fucking molasses that's been soaking.
And that's your last swallow. That goes in your mouth, and you just vomit everything.
Ah. Oh.
Exactly. It's just like a hot alcoholic load. Going
it's got a built-in you can't overdose on it because the last sip is pure barf. Just blah. It's Instabarf. Anyways, guys,
let's just throw some epicac in your fucking cocktails.
Hey, Heavy Metal, your dose of alcoholic content plus magic finance. How can we go wrong with this formula? Hey, we got a pro tour coming up this weekend, so everybody's going to hit this on Friday.
It's next weekend, right?
It's like 3 weeks from now.
I thought it was...
Yeah, it's
like, is it 3 weeks from now?
Super Bowl weekend.
Jack is playing weekend. In it.
Oh, there you go.
You guys don't even know.
Yeah, man, I'm
I
fucking
think it's, it's like the second weekend in February.
But yeah, so I guess the question is, like, is this Eldrazi deck going to show up? Or is it going to be the kind of thing where the pros get together and like, I don't know.
Burn's going to win.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the funny thing. So watching all the test videos of everyone trying to do Eldrazi decks from It's Showtime to Saffron Olive to all the guys. The funny thing is every time they go up against a burn deck, they just get obliterated. And they just say, it's okay. Let's move on.
Honestly, my good buddy Corbin Hostler might actually have the edge on the format because I think Merfolk is pretty well positioned.
I think Merfolk is just a bad affinity, isn't it?
It doesn't die to Blood Moon.
Dies to O Stone. I mean, I guess that's.
I don't know.
It's definitely one of those decks that got a little better.
Spreading Seas is the best Magic card ever printed. Yeah. All right, so
I didn't say that.
Chalice also, yeah. So.
I mean, you know what? Sky,
like that's good.
I think the truth is there's a lot of people going to run Tron because it's very, very solid. Turn 3 Karn is very hard to come back from. I think that deck's going to be one of the big players.
Spreading
I think Affinity
plus 2 mana.
I agree,
Pro Tour though. Like, it doesn't strike me as a Pro Tour deck, really.
It's not a Pro Tour deck. I think Affinity, Burn, and Tron are going to be where it's at. I think a bunch of fringe people are going to bring in Eldrazi, and I think they're going to do well.
Now,
Eldrazi deck's going to make the top 8.
Yeah, well,
when
we talked to Finkel, he said he wouldn't change a single card in his Infect list from a year ago.
Yeah,
but the problem is, does Finkel give a shit about Modern? No. So he's just like, I like this list, I can play it. So
I don't even, like, in fact, it seems okay, but if Burn is really going to be that prominent...
That's a given. I'm trying to talk about all the other decks in the format, because Burn's going to win anyway, so I'm trying to figure out who's going to get second place.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Looking at Magic Online, it's funny because everyone is running test decks. So you get a very skewed view of what people are trying. And these are decks they're trying out, not decks that are going to win or the decks they're settling on. They're decks that they're just running and jamming into shit. So you're getting all kinds of crazy skewed results, which is great. It's really interesting. I've seen some very, very powerful plays that Eldrazi is capable of. But you know what? I've seen a turn 3 Karn that's really hard to come back from. So a turn 4 Ulamog is pretty hard to come back from too, but they're both powerful strategies. Infect is proven. It can have a turn 3 kill. Like,
weren't you the one that said that you think that the Eldrazi decks and the Tron decks are just going to merge into some fucking hybrid?
No, I was talking with Tyler the Fro, Hot Sauce Master, about, because he's probably one of the best brewers I know, and I mentioned that to him. I'm like, so what about Tron mana plus Eldrazi mana? How does that work? And he's like, ooh, interesting. So he's been working on that. I think that it doesn't mesh. Yeah. It probably meshes as well as Milk and Kraken. So I think it looks really good until it's there, and then it doesn't.
Like, I mean, you could force it down and have a good time, but
I'm sure you can, but I don't think the synergies are there that it works. It sounds good. I think it probably hinders you more.
The thing with the Eldrazi deck is going to be integrating these new, like, Reality Smasher and the discard guy, and go more towards that instead of being more all in on, like, Ulamog. Just strip out some of that relic stuff and just go with this, like, just these, you can win with just these cards.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different, like, somebody, some pro tweeted today, there's the two mana Eldrazi guy, right? That says it when it comes into play or when another creature comes, it
gets haste.
No, it gets the power and toughness, right?
Oh yeah, the mimic. Okay,
it's free.
Eldrazi Temple, those are free.
Eldrazi Temple. Yeah.
And then you have a 4-mana 6/6. It's black 2. That's an Eldrazi.
Mm-hmm. So it's a turn 2 win with an Urborg. Woo-hoo-hoo!
With an Urborg and a Tempest.
And you only have to draw four of your four copies of Eldrazi.
No, but that's turn two. That's turn two Magical Christmas Land. But I'm just saying, could it be something that's reasonable?
I hope they mill their whole fucking deck. I hope my opponent mills their whole deck for me.
I mean, here's the thing. Eldrazi, as it exists currently before Oath hits MTGO, is all about going big. So it's all about Rampant Ulamog, which looks great. Turn 4 looks amazing, and you do amazing shit. I agree. There's a mid-range strategy here that we haven't even seen yet. And there may be even a super aggressive strategy we haven't even seen yet. The truth is, though, it's going to come down to what are you playing against. If Burn is beating you on turn 3 and 4, if Infect is beating you on turn 3 and likely 4, and Karn is destroying you on turn 3 and probably winning on turn 5, what the fuck are you doing? So, like, that's really what it comes down to. I laugh that they banned Splinter Twin, which was a turn 4 maybe win, and yet it actually, in looking at the meta now, I don't know. Green-White Hate Bears, if you're going to look at anything that's fringe that could take down all of this shit, that's an interesting deck. It's something I've been trying to put together and figure out how to build it. Craig Wesco is probably the man I should talk to, White Weenie himself. But I think that deck is also going to do very well. If
Hate
this
Bears
is what the
is a
field
way play, different deck than
I know it is
than Mono White.
But it is. I'm saying Green White Hate Bears, Thalia, fucking land. Basically, it's Arbiter. Anything that fucks with searching and land destruction is the Green White Hate Bear build I would go
Stony
around.
Silence, is that the thing?
And four Stony Silence out of the board, sure. Pithing Needle. I'd run.
Mind Sensor. Fucking.
You got Rest in Peace.
Yeah, Mind Sensor. Yeah, and then I would run probably like three. What is the green white guy that pumps your team? Oh fuck, Wiltleaf Leech.
But the thing is, it's like just like a shitty version of like Fun Police. Like if you want a Fun Police, people play like Mono Blue Delver or Burn. Like that's Fun Police. Like
I don't know. I don't think Delver is good. I don't think Delver is good. Personally,
dude, Delver is gonna be is,
Insectile Aberration though is good.
Yeah,
it deals a lot of fucking damage.
Yeah.
Can I just skip the front of that card and go straight to the back? No, I mean, it's interesting.
It costs zero mana on the back.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing. A lot of the pros that were playing Twin are not so easy. Like, Sean McLaren's article was hilarious today, where he's like, okay, so they took Twin away. I'm still playing fucking Jeskai Colors. I'm just going to turn it into a control build.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
so maybe...
deck from the Pro Tour 2 years ago.
Pretty much,
which
right?
Kiki.
I mean...
It was a Kiki deck.
Yeah, it's just literally...
Kiki Angel.
Suck your mana base's dick and play Kiki Jiki. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, Jeff Hoogland's probably the guy that can play Kiki Jiki and get success with. I'm
yeah,
not
for
sure
a while,
that's...
until the end, and then he'll...
Yeah, yeah. Until the deck gets popular enough where it's easily hated, and then it sucks balls. I'm not sure. I'm excited, though. I will say this. After all the bans, yes, did you achieve that I'm excited to watch the Pro Tour? Yes, I am. I'm actually pretty excited. I don't like that it's how it's done or what the turnabout is, but I'm excited to see what happens.
So wait, hold on. Are all those judges unbanned now for the PT?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
They only
I didn't
got
know
23
that was like...
No, actually, some of them still are banned, but like most of the ones that went through the appeal process got their ban overturned. The ones
so
that
what about
bother,
the L3s? Those are really the concern for the Pro Tour, right?
I think they were all fine.
Okay.
Obviously, Wizards is making sure they're out of jail free.
Also, hey, my friend Jack is playing in Atlanta, and he was just like, yeah, like... I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. Like, we're going to have, like, the C-team referees here.
They're all going
to
be like
you with, like, slow play or, like, you know, take the extra card maybe, you know. It's like
What did you name again?
It's a fucking Pro Tour.
What, What did you name with your pithy needle again? Boba Go Gigmos? Okay, Boba Go Gigmos. All right.
Humpus Wumpus. It's the Humpus Wumpus story all over again.
I love what – was it Chris Landler or somebody? Someone of the famous judges was like, look, if as long as you don't say the specific name and you say, like, hey, the thing that's going to kill me, then that's legal. Which I find hilarious that they're allowing that. So if I say, hey, the card in your deck that throws lands at me and I die
your
from –
win condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's
no, but that has to be a reference for, like, somebody who, like, is a judge at an LGS for F&M, like –
No, man, that was legit, dude.
I don't know.
I think that's crazy.
Dude,
I think
the Boba Rigmos thing is a fucking joke. I agree with you 100%. I do. But I'm saying a judge coming out and saying, the card that kills me, that's the one, is extremely unprofessional and just completely inaccurate to how they would handle a call at a Pro Tour.
What? It's about clarification. He said, as long as you clearly identify the card... That is unique. If you uniquely identify it. So if I said, hey, the card that throws lands at me, what is there? If there's only one card in your deck that throws lands at me.
Well, then can't then you just say, like, the next card he's going to play? Like,
can't you just call a judge? Can't you just call a judge and say, hey, judge, what's the name of the card where you pitch lands?
Well, you can't, because then the judge is giving you information. Right?
Is that
bullshit.
A thing? Can you not
judges can
them?
Only reference Oracle text.
Yeah. Yeah, they cannot tell you. I've been in that situation.
Just, that's never just happened.
The next card he's going to play.
Lightning Bolt. I named Lightning Bolt. You're playing a deck. You're playing Fish. Oh. Fish, then. I named Fish.
I can't play any.
You know what?
Because I named Merfolk.
Yeah, I named Merfolk. You know, I mean, it's just – it's interesting. I'm excited to see what the Pro Tour does. I'm very curious to see if this actually generates them the outcome that Wizards wanted, and I hope we learn from it. Like, as a community and as them, I hope everybody learns, and I hope you guys are right. I hope there's an Eternal Masters and a Modern Masters and an Eternal Masters and a Modern Masters.
Even if it's not Eternal Masters, even if it's, like, another conspiracy set that gives us Legacy reprints, new cards, doesn't suck, and gives us hot EDH foils... Fuck yeah, dude. Conspiracy was such a good set, and I don't hear people ranting about it nearly enough. There's like foil
I don't know.
And shit in that set. Like, that set's amazing. Conspiracy's still fun to draft. Like, we drafted one of them in Vegas, and it was amazing. Conspiracy was it was a fucking home run, and nobody wants to talk about what a good set it was. Everybody wants to bitch about how, like, they didn't get what they wanted elsewhere. So let's take a minute to be like, I trust them to, if they're going to do something like Eternal Masters, I trust them to figure it out, because fucking they figured out Conspiracy. They did that correctly.
Okay,
I don't
man,
know if I'm as generous.
You put a lot of faith in them. Put a lot of faith, brother.
I don't know if Corbin got in your fucking head or something.
Just like
but,
it. Just do that again. It's not hard to fucking do something you've already done successfully again.
Yeah, it is. Modern Masters 2015 failed big time.
It's actually the perfect example.
They gave people what they wanted. That was the problem.
No, they really didn't. Wow. They gave everyone. They you know what they did?
For, not what they wanted. They gave people.
No. No, no. You know what they did? They got pissed
that's
off.
A good way to put it.
No. Wizards got pissed off that.
And he's like, we need Carbon
Stores.
And Dark Confidant again. And they're like, all right,
no.
Here.
No.
They didn't.
No, you know what it was?
Rare, though.
No. They were pissed off that stores were selling them for $10 a pack, and they were selling the stores for like $3. And Wizards was like, fuck that, we want some of that cash. So they balanced the amount of cards in it so that it was worth MSRP. And so they got the majority of the money. That was what it really was about. And I hope that they realize that that's not a good solution, because that doesn't solve anyone's problem. And if they do that every year, then you'll just have a failure. Because you'll have a bunch of boxes on the shelf no one's buying because it's not worth it. Right? It's like the Modern Event Tech. No one bought it until it was worth it to buy. So it didn't make Wizards any money. It just sat on a shelf until the manufacturer's
it wasn't a good deck either. It was a half-assed deck
horrible.
At $75.
If it wasn't for Inquisition of Kozilek, that deck would still be sitting on a shelf. Like, it would.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they didn't give a fuck about any of those products because they knew they had fucking Arena of the Planeswalkers on the back burner, and that thing was going to be the cash hog. And oh wait,
I wouldn't doubt that they believe
that fucking Magic the Gathering puzzle quest money they're making.
Oh, yeah, I want to see Hasbro's quarter on that.
Have you played that fucking game?
No, I haven't.
That game's fucking
man. That game is amazing.
I'm telling you, it's fun as shit.
See, that scares me. You guys, if you truly care about this game, you shouldn't play that shit. Because if that's if it gets in their head that that's where the money is, then they're going to leave.
If you care about the game of Magic, you shouldn't be playing Puzzle Quest.
Fucking right you shouldn't.
Because they did a better job on Puzzle Quest than they did on Modo. And
yes, but then could you imagine how easy it is in a boardroom to say, hey, guys, why don't we fire all these idiots that can't get this game right? And we'll just make Puzzle Quest 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
If Magic the Gathering became Puzzle Quest and I couldn't write finance articles anymore, I'd be okay with that because Puzzle Quest is cool.
if they're all, hey, let's fire all these guys. Like, maybe we should get the Puzzle Quest guys to start fucking, like, that's going to be our R&D team. Like, fuck it. Let's go. And maybe we'll cut out.
You're scaring me. You're scaring me. Stop.
Hey, if Magic comes into play, destroy 3 blue orbs on the board.
Spell Sky. See, that's not cool, though, guys. That's not cool.
The game, like, you're gonna sit down at your fucking LGS to play some fucking Modern, there's gonna be a Parcheesi board in the middle with fucking marbles in different colors, and it's gonna be fucking sweet. You gotta destroy orbs with your cards, and like I feel like this might
only
be
noobs play the app. It's all about that paper Puzzle Quest.
Exactly.
All they had to do was just leave the door open for another printing of Modern Masters 1, even though they were so afraid of the Chronicles thing. They were like, oh, limit, like. But no matter how many times they said limited edition, if they just said, like, you know what, in 9 months we're going to have another print run of Modern Masters 1, would anyone complain?
No one would have complained. So. Everyone would have been like, great, let's milk the money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it. And they make more money on cards they already fucking designed.
That's what's crazy. Yeah. I don't understand how we're printing cards.
Exactly.
That's hard. The art's done. Personally for me.
No, the art's not done. They got a fucking... turn everybody who got their invitational card into a different gender and race.
Like,
okay, if it's so hard, how does SCG give fucking... They're making cards for every player on that damn tour, man.
They look good.
They look great. The art is great. Oh, I have no problem with that.
If I saw that art on a Magic card, I'd be like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm...
Oh, man, come.
Dude, those tokens look like... Those tokens look like trash, bro.
Oh, come on.
They look like trash.
Okay.
Dude, they don't look like our tokens.
Steven Rafael or Durf could do all the SCG tokens better than they are.
Okay, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, like, it's okay. The fact that they're doing it and getting it done, it's possible. Like, you can hire artists. Like, I don't agree that it's just undoable. And honestly, like, you want to make Modern Masters, if you go yearly, I think the key to it is new art. It has to. People would get sick, and I know a lot of people would piss if you just kept.
And Modern Masters is the new core set.
If it is that, I think that's the way to fix Magic. 100% agree with that.
I like that.
If Modern is this growing thing, I personally, all these calls for people saying that we should go to a rotating format, that's crazy.
Because
that just kills Modern. Modern.
When people, like, they say that, oh, Standard is for getting new players and Modern is for retaining them, they say that, like, that's a knock against Modern. But as time goes by and the percentage of players are old players, you know, at this point in time, like, you want to...
With money.
Exactly.
And that can afford things.
Not even to mention that if the demographics, I'm sure, for Modern players, they're older and have more money than Standard players, right? So
they are. It's not even up for question. We were in Vegas, dude. There was not a lot of young kids there. They were all old men. That's what's crazy.
That's because how many people... What is it, 13... 13 plus, like, how many 13 plus year old players are their parents going to be like, oh, yeah, you go to Vegas.
I think
you
that's
go to Vegas for
the
weekend.
Disconnect for Hasbro. I don't know if they have another brand where the average user
they don't
is that old. It's like,
no, and that, yeah, I 100% agree. And that's
why
it's so
confusing. They won't acknowledge that the My Little Pony base is that old, so.
That's you, dude. He nailed it. The My Little Pony base is probably 50% Jack LaCroix, 50% mothers buying it for their daughter.
Bridges this fucking gap, and we need him, like, his opinion on this fucking subject.
I agree. If they would, like, you look at Deadpool and you look at some of these movies that are coming out that are like, fuck it, we're going for an adult audience, they're going to be home runs. I guarantee you those, that is like the next thing, right? Like, if Hasbro was smart, they would be like, hey, man, there's an aging audience here that doesn't want the child approach.
Topless Sarah Angel. Just
I'm not a pro. I don't approve that. But maybe as an altered foiled rarity. The full art topless Sarah Angel expedition. Sure. A kid cracks that and his mother's watching. I mean, I think they do. Oh, I think modern.
It's like that big of a fucking deal. Like, I mean, remember back in the day, it was like, oh, it's demonic. The game is demonic. You can't fucking play it. And there's church groups after it. Like, this day and age, like, yo, there's a topless Sarah Angel. It's like, big fucking deal. You're like, mom's getting Victoria's Secret
just
catalog.
Just tits. Tits is natural.
Tits is from nature. I used to feed you with them.
I mean, I see more tits on MTV than I do in Magic, so come on, who gives a shit?
I want my MPG.
If the nipples show through the boob armor, who cares? I'm just saying, like, you're right. The demographic is older, the money is there. I think what the money is looking for is opposite to what Hasbro believes people are looking for, which is, I don't believe they want limited experience.
No, but you
don't. I think limited...
What
is something you get from standard. I don't think Modern Masters.
What you gotta realize is that they just don't. They. I think that saying that Hasbro doesn't recognize the audience as it is a bit of a fallacy because I think they recognize the audience as it is. And while there were 10,000, 15,000 people in Vegas and the majority of them were from the age group like 23 to 35, like. I still genuinely believe that that the age group of 13 to 20 is far more profitable and far more their focus. So while I do agree, they could have a multiple pronged approach that could cater to the needs of both, but they don't because one. They're not willing to give the budget to cater to both. And two, they are very keen and realize that, you know what? What matters are the younger players. And it is. And that's what matters because honestly,
okay.
Look at us. We're all hook, fucking, line, and sinker, right? Like, that's it. So if I'm in middle school and I go to the LGS and I'm learning Magic and I'm like learning about the pros and the Pro Tour, and like I'm just getting into Standard and buying cards. Like that is their core. That's their core. The 17-year-old girl or guy that is at the store, or even younger, like 14 or 15-year-old, and they're in there. They're figuring out the game. They're learning the game through the sites that Wizards wants them to learn the game through. And
like Puzzle Quest.
And they're gonna go and they're going.
I disagree.
They're gonna buy product. And they're going to buy singles from their store.
And very quickly, here's the thing you're not acknowledging, is the compression of the journey. So the journey of a Magic player used to be you'd enter, you'd go pick up Inquest, and maybe once every 2 months you'd know what a price of a card was. And then you would play whatever the fuck your store was, because you had no idea what anything else was going on. And so it was basically your life revolved around that store you went to. Now, everything revolves around the internet, and nothing revolves around your LGS. Your
LGS revolves around the internet.
Hold on. With jobs. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, if you're a 15-year-old
okay, but hold on,
kid,
hold on.
Going to your LGS is still what matters. Yes, they have way more accessibility than we ever did, right, to the finance side of things. However, if you're a 15-year-old kid – yes, you might be more cognitive of the prices because of the day and age, but that still doesn't change the value that going
yes, it
to
does. 100%.
Is what matters.
Dude, I'm telling – okay, so I have gone to every pre-release for the past 3 years.
As have I.
I have – okay, so at least in the ones that I've gone to in the stores I've been at, I have witnessed a – yeah, there's probably 10% that are like under 13, 10%. And that doesn't grow. It's just 10%. The problem is that 10% of kids that are under 13, they're so fucking smart and they're so aware because all they do is sit around with fucking 20-year-olds that are like, don't buy this card. This is bullshit. Or you don't sell that card right now. It's not worth it. I'm talking to 9-year-olds who know the price of cards. And I'm like, how the fuck do you even know what this costs? It's like, I looked it up before I came here. So I disagree. I think that – that while that is Wizards' goal to have it as entry formats, I believe the journey as players take is very quickly exited that those profitable margins and
I don't
into
know, man,
Eternal.
Because I think part of that comes from a exposure bias, because you and I live in cities, in major metropolitan
cities. Yes, I agree.
Where,
yeah, I've said my metagames in the entire Magic culture in where I live is inbred, and it is probably very different than, like, let's say where Corbin lives.
And it's,
where
it'll be the same for me and the same for JR. So really, what I'd want to hear is, like, I know Kevy doesn't ever go to pre-releases, but, like, Jason
is not
Kalamazoo, like is it that bad? Do you know? Like, because I know it's a huge difference for me if I go to a pre-release in Philadelphia at Red Cap's Corner, who streams Legacy and Modern every week, live tournaments, and are a very well-established shop in the middle of three colleges that's extremely competitive, to if I ever went back to my hometown in Wilmington and did, like, a Friday Night Magic there, where, like, Real Evil Genius, like, that's his LGS now because he lives where my hometown was. Like, those are two totally different experiences. I mean, like, when I grew up in Wilmington and I learned how to play Magic, very loosely and very fun. And then when I moved to Philly and started going to the LGS, I was like, holy fuck, what is this like? Like, it was totally
exactly
different. And I'm saying, and that's
where
my side of the argument comes from, is that while I totally agree with you, Maddie, and what you see at an LGS and what JR sees being in New York City and what I see now in Philly and you in Toronto is very different.
What about me and Ridgecrest?
80%.
Fuck a bunch of Ridgecrest.
No, your Ridgecrest thing is an outlier, man. We can't – that's immediately taken off the mean graph.
I know.
But, no, seriously, Jason, what is it like for you guys? Do you – is it just casual? Like, what are you witnessing on the ground?
I mean, there are casual people and there are try-hard people. Like, there's going to be try-hards at every store. So it's about the size of your store that, like, you get the same try-hard percentage everywhere. So it's the size of your store is how many fucking – if you got enough tryhards for a competitive scene.
And I agree.
One of the LGSs in town does, and one of the LGSs in town doesn't. And I just don't go hang out with fucking Spikes anymore at the bigger LGS. I like the smaller LGS I go to, and I can
so
usually
do you think
X1 at the pre-release without reading any of the cards or remembering how to tap mana, and it's fine.
So do you think, like, one store makes more money than the other?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, the bigger one, because I get a bigger player.
Right. I mean, this is the thing, like, that I think is what's happening is the acceleration of stores. They realize that, like, I'm sorry to, like, go counter to a lot of people, or that a lot of people don't want to hear this be talked about, but singles is where Magic stores make money. They don't make money on sealed product. They don't make money on all the shit Wizards sells.
They make enough to do it.
They do, but when a store starts to get profitable where they're like, hey, we're going to buy new chairs and tables because why the fuck not? It's because of singles, not because they're selling booster boxes.
Honestly,
so,
like, honestly, I think that when game stores are doing that, it's having a great vending machine or in the case of something that you are one of the few people that is luxurious enough to have. You have a full fucking kitchen in your LGS.
The kitchen, though,
and it's selling play mats on a very high margin. It's selling dice on a very high margin. It's not
Okay. I agree. All those things do add to the bottom line. But from the financial aspect that I've witnessed, it is probably very heavily outweighed by the fact that singles move everything. So the fact that they buy for 50% and sell for 100, that's really where the money's made. And, like, this is the whole point of why the journey of Magic players moves quickly into that. It's if you get in early, you're rewarded. So if I got in early because I'm on top of my finance game and I'm buying Eldrazi temples just because one day I could play this deck, not that I ever want to play it, it's just one day I might. When they spike to $10, I've just made an absurd amount of money. And this is, like, my whole point last week was about is that is what's happening. The game, it's the pregame. So, like, I don't even want these fucking cards, but I should try to get them. And a lot of, like, the finance cast I listen to talk about shit like that where they're like, hey, you should buy this card. It's 50 cents. Or they brag about how, remember 3 weeks ago I told you to get this card? And then they yell at you, and they say you're an idiot for wanting to own more than one deck. Yet they just constantly spew all these tips about cards that you're like, this isn't even a deck. It's just random fucking cards you're talking about. So, like, there's no game. This is the fallacy and the falsehood that the MTG community or MTG finance guys sell you is if you listen to all their tips, you wouldn't have a deck. You just have a bunch of fucking speculations. And so
then you could also have the money to go buy your deck. What are you even talking about?
Right. Well, okay. there's the difference.
What the fuck are you talking about? That we make the game affordable for people by telling them when to sell their cards for the most money and buy them for the least. So if you listen to us, you don't have a deck, except every card you want, you got at the right time and sold at the right time, and you've got fucking money, and you didn't have to pay $1,500 for your $1,500 deck. What the fuck are you talking about?
But you're missing the point that to do that, I can't play Magic. I have to for a year. Yeah, okay. Just follow speculation.
You think it's like an 8-hour-a-day job?
No, but it's just like I can't. If I want to play a deck right now, I have to pay the current prices.
So I gotta
ask, to get in on all these cards, you have to be aware. Yeah, it's a multi-year journey.
I gotta ask,
right?
Because that's what modern is, man. It's an eternal format.
We have,
and maybe that's just the solution.
We have a very, very common and very, very close mutual friend in Tony Cameron, aka yes. Awesome Every Day, or who Maddie loves to call Awesome Sauce. And Tony, right? Tony is one of the nicest guys that I've ever met, and put me up at his place in Canada the first time I ever went there without ever meeting me in person. So I have endless shout outs to give to him. But
I don't think he likes me.
Tony,
he loves you. You have no idea.
No, but Tony is somebody who, when they announced Modern. Bought everything he could. Just went out and he was just like, this is it. This is the future of Magic. Bought everything he could. And Tony is one of the few people I know who I've actually physically thumbed through a binder. And he has a place out of damn near every single money card in Modern. And this was...
He's smart.
This was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Yeah. Now, at what
point
say Tony is a bad guy for doing that, or...
No, I didn't. That's not what I said at all.
No,
I'm not trying to distort that.
What I'm trying to say is, essentially what he did was he preemptively went in and bought all the... And he's not going to play 17 decks at once, and neither are you built a gauntlet.
No.
But what I'm saying is, at what point do the hoarders and the speculators... Kind of where's the gray area between that and then somebody who just like, well, I'm on the back of the defense that I love the game, I'm gonna buy all the cards because I want them, or it's on the back of I want to make this game affordable for myself and I want to buy and sell Magic cards to subsidize the cost, I want to own everything. Where is that gray line for you?
It's entirely gray. I think everything is gray. That's the problem. Like, I feel like it's... If you want to play the game, if you want to own a deck, then just pay fucking full price and who cares? And then when your deck gets banned because you chose the best deck, then tough shit. Suck up and buy the next deck.
Or
that's
play Burn because they're not gonna ban it.
They'll, you know what? If Burn wins, they'll ban Lightning Bolts.
If they ban Lightning Bolt, I will light my fucking cards on fire and quit playing Magic. Yeah,
just like the twin players are writing fuck you out of Splinter Twins. Like, dude, here's the thing. Tony is intelligent and smart, but he also had that $5,000-$6,000 to do that. And what I'm saying is there are people out there that are trying to play this game that are entering their game. And if you're telling me to the 13-year-old kid that wants to enter Modern, hey, do you have $6,000 you should spend? No one has that.
No, but you should tell that 16-year-old kid, hey, man, it's totally fucking unreasonable for you to want to build every deck in the format. So maybe what you should do if you want to play Modern...
That's not... Yeah, but that's not – who's saying that? No one is saying that. So, like
– like, what it comes down to, too, is, like, okay, yeah, if you want to – if you want to be competitive in the sense that you're out there grinding, like, you're grinding away. I mean, like, that's a choice in your life. You want to be out there grinding fucking GPs and trying to make it on the fucking modern circuit, and you got to pay the fucking money for the your top-tier decks, that's fine. But then you can also be, like – you can play modern, like, and effectively play modern – like, if you're going to FNMs and shit like that, like, you can play effective fucking modern decks that cost you fucking dick. Like, I don't think you can.
And that's exactly, like, and that's exactly what Finkel said on our cast when I asked him, is he said, you know what? I played Storm and I played Infect. And those are two of the cheapest modern decks that you could possibly build. And getting cards for him, yeah, what he said, it's not an issue. Like,
that's like very
modern,
true.
Those good, two decks
playing
that
a good
played.
Jund deck in modern is out of hand. Like playing a good Jund deck, it's like, yeah, that shit's fucking ridiculous expensive because every piece of that is fucking pricey as shit for, like, you know, it's versatility, it's whatever it can do, and that's great. And if you want to play that deck, what's that?
It can't possibly be twice as good as the other decks if you just look at the money value.
No, but Jund, Jund has always been and will always be. Let me find the two for ones. Let me find the best two for ones in the format, and I'm gonna jam them all into a deck. I mean, that's been Jund since it was in standard. It was just
that's the definition of.
I'm gonna find all the best two for ones in the format. I'm gonna put them all the fuck together, and I'm just gonna outvalue my opponent by playing simple to read Magic cards.
You got a bunch of cards that are already fucking good and expensive because they work in a bunch of other fucking decks, and they happen to come together and work really well in a Jund deck. Like, yeah, but you could do that, or you could fucking, you know, you could play Burn, but and not even to just be the fucking, you know, the guy that's always saying Burn. There are plenty other fucking decks you can play. It's like, if you want to play Modern, you can play Modern. Don't get me wrong. Some of the prices getting ridiculous is ridiculous. But like,
Here's the thing, Kevy, hold on.
Cheap.
Hold on, here's the thing. All the arguments that people come back with this when I suggest, hey, we should try to make a more affordable modern, is this. You should play the shittiest, cheapest deck you can. Okay, so that's great, but I'll say form budget. Can I use the word budget? Am I allowed to use the word budget?
Yeah, you're allowed to use budget.
I'm going to use the word budget deck.
Budget is implying that you're making suboptimal card choices.
No, budget is just affordable.
Modern with optimal card choices for cheap.
Okay, great.
Play a deck in standard.
Okay, sure. So here's the thing. Okay, so the most affordable deck is always going to be a very linear deck. So here's the thing. If you're telling me that I can play modern if I choose to play Infect or Storm, that's my choices. Well, then you're hitting a wall in terms of what people want to play. Not everyone wants to do that. And so, like, all I'm saying is if there was ability to just take the peaks and valleys out of Magic that and have a more stable, slightly cheaper format, I think that would allow people to say, oh, maybe I want to play Robots, or maybe I want to play this deck because it's about the same price as Burn, or it's about the same price as Infect. Like, I think there needs to be more stability in terms of, like, choice and not just, hey, you have to play this because of X cost.
Yeah.
I think that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Yeah. Maybe Magic is a journey through money, which, like, is pretty much what it is. And it's your journey through which people tweet about, like, hey, I got my set of Power 9, so I've completed the journey. I beat the game. I'm level 10, man. Sweet.
It's not even about that. What it's about is your commitment to the game and what you from your personal life are you willing to put into it? And that's it sucks.
Sure.
Well, it sucks, but we play a collectible card game.
Yes, but what I'm saying is it could still be collectible. It could still be a card game. It could just be more balanced. That's all I'm saying. This is what's so crazy. I don't understand the negativity against just saying, hey, let's have a modern reprint for Modern Masters every year just to bring the prices down and create some stability in the marketplace.
How does anybody
have an issue with that?
I'm not saying I have an issue with that, man. I think that's great.
So then what's the point?
That's great, I want. But all I'm saying is that this game is one of the best, if not the best game ever designed. 100%.
And the price we pay equals that. I agree. Yes, the best game in the world should be expensive. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be.
Not even that. What it comes down to is, like, I agree with you. There's no reason that there shouldn't be fucking, like, you know, a reprint heavy set like you're talking about. Like, let's try to bring some of those prices and some of those cards down so that we can do that. That's fine. But, like, we also live in the real world where it's, like, we've been saying shit like that forever. And sometimes it happens a little bit. Most of the time it doesn't. And we always bitch about it. But at the same time, like, here we are. Like, we've got this amazing game that you can play for cheap if you want to play. Like, I mean,
there are lots of alternative ways to play this game.
No, and also, that's what I'm saying. Just cube, like, motherfuckers. I'm going to BTSG
tonight.
But
the problem with cube... Dude, I agree. But look, otherwise... if I could cube... But here, Slick, I had this conversation. If we all decided to just cube from now on, the game is dead.
No, but
okay?
that's not dead if it forces them to change.
It's 100% dead. No, this is false. I supporting cube is very dangerous. Because when you keep telling everyone just fucking buy cube cards, what you're saying is... you can't afford half your cube anyway, so proxy it or get fakes. And then just buy your cards once because they're not in print. You're never going to buy any cards off Wizards.
Yeah, because you should vote for your money until Wizards does the right thing. So yes, we should stop buying Magic cards. We should all stop buying the cards.
No, that is the I think that is 100%. That will kill Magic. I think Magic needs to offer us something that allows us to keep spending on a regular budget. That's what all I want.
You're not aggressive enough, man. Because honestly, that's not going to.
We're going to get Puzzle Quest, dude.
The change is going to come.
Magic will be all online.
That's it.
If you did that, that's crazy. I disagree.
If we keep perpetuating this shit, Wizards is going to keep perpetuating their shit. And that's the real deal.
That's
the,
economics right there.
If we keep trying to work with them, they're going to continue to work us over.
I won't argue with that. That is 100% accurate and correct.
And that's
I just feel like there's got to be... Yeah. Well, that's a reality, guys. If you're not going to fill your Eternal Masters with dual lands and the cards you want to play these formats that you're selling, then where are people going to get them? Anyways, let's move on this...
You just need to shift the model slightly away from standard and towards modern. You know,
I think it could still be standard. It's just give modern a little bit more. Yeah. That's all. Like 15% more.
Exactly.
There you go. There's a number for you fuckers. All right, let's you guys got to go soon. I know you guys have a timeline. Did you guys want to hang around for a little bit of Twitter hole, or are you guys going to bail Olio on us?
I have to bounce.
I can stay for a half hour.
Your listeners don't care what I got to say about Twitter hole shit, probably.
Yeah, I'll hang a little.
They probably care more about what you have to say in the Twitter hole than your finance.
Well, hey, man, I'm not the one that told you to structure the episode this way. You knew when I was leaving.
Sorry, man. We got.
I can
say
for 5 minutes, but I can't say for 30.
This is what happens when we decide to fucking guest on a fucking episode of Money Draft. Like, this is what happens. We don't get any choices on how to do things.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start the Twitter hole off with one question for Jason Ault, because this is like his home run. Wheelhouse. Nate at Nate Bears asks us, if you had to give an NHL team a deck, what would it be and why? Jason, kick us off.
Oh, I have to pick a deck and pick a team?
Yeah, come on now. I feel this is pretty obvious.
We give Splinter Twin to the Blackhawks because it's so good they're trying to ban it. All it does is win.
That's such a troll. All right, wait.
I would give the San Jose Sharks Jeff Hoogland's Kiki Pod because it always chokes when it really matters.
I was gonna say we should give Merfolk to the Maple Leafs because it stinks. I don't know. That's horrible. I can hear crickets in the background.
Yeah, what would the Maple Leafs deck? It'd be a deck that's terrible, but everyone insists it's really good and like keeps playing it anyway. Like Living End
Geist.
Or something like that.
Team Geist. Yeah, there you go. Living
Team
End.
Team Geist.
Team Geist. I swear this deck is tier one, guys. Come on. Just keep paying. Yeah, that's actually perfect.
Keep the faith, next year Team Geist will be... Next year's Team Geist year, eh? It's next year's our year. Keep the faith.
Team Geist is playing Diablo 3 as far as I know right now.
Yeah. Hey, how much is this deck? It's super expensive, eh? But totally it's going to be there next year.
It's the most expensive deck. It's due.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally due for a win one day. Oh, my God. That's fucking horrible. But it's so true. It's a play-ons, eh?
I hate hockey.
What?
Fuck and you. Burn is the Kings because like everybody doesn't Everybody doesn't like the fact that the Kings win all the goddamn time and they're really good and they're always going to be really good. But it's always there and it's always going to be something you have to deal
with.
Last year
they didn't make the playoffs at all.
Hey, I mean,
okay,
sometimes
so what?
I still get burned to the Kings.
What team would be Titan Blue where sometimes they just blow the load and just do nothing?
That would actually be my Philadelphia Flyers.
There you go. Yeah, everybody's heard about them, but nobody knows really what the fuck they do. Like, why?
No one knows how to pilot them.
Sometimes
they'll just win, but most of the times they're just going to lose because the players don't know enough.
The Flyers are like done. They made it to they made it as far as they could possibly go, and then they never did anything ever again.
There you go.
And then they got banned.
I will also accept that as valid because honestly, you can talk as much shit on the Flyers as you want, and I don't give a goddamn.
There's somebody out there mad.
They're delusional.
I'm sorry, fellow Philadelphia area people, that I'm not defending the Flyers well enough. But God,
you're really good in '76, man.
The Legion of Doom, man, with Eric Lindros. That was their time.
Were they trained the entire hockey team for Eric Lindros, and then he got fucking concussed?
Yeah, and then he got a hit in the head, and he's like, all right, let's move to T. Moles. Our good buddy Tommy Moles has a question. He says, if you were a Muppet or a character on Sesame Street, which one would you be?
The Grouch, hands down, not close. GG, no re.
Yeah, it's
I don't know.
Though.
Are you the Grouch?
I don't think it would be too easy.
I don't think you're the Grouch.
I'm not a fucking Muppet.
Dude, yeah, okay, no, you're...
You can't be the
Jason
Grouch.
Alt. Jason Alt is Bert. 100%. He's totally Bert, man. He's totally Bert. He's got to be.
I feel like Jason Alt and I are Bert and Ernie, and JR is like the drummer guy.
He's Animal.
Animal, yeah. JR is Animal, and Jason Alt and I are Bert and Ernie.
Could be.
Yeah,
I
thought you were going to say like the Eagle news guy that Stephen.
Yes. Oh no, that's JR 100%.
Well, JR is actually the human dichotomy between Eagle and the animal.
I am both Statler and Waldorf.
That's a good one.
Yeah. The two old cranky.
That Twitter question wasn't half bad. You're right. It was all bad.
Oh, Kevin Metal, I think you got to be Animal for sure. If anything, that's your soul.
I can see that one.
I don't know.
I can see that.
Yeah, who else would it be?
I'd be probably Big Bird. Too optimistic and stupid to give a shit. That's totally right
maybe
there.
Maybe Gonzo.
Gonzo. Oh, yeah, what was the other? Yeah, Gonzo.
Hear me out on this. Maddie Studios 100% Cookie Monster. Yes or no?
I could see that, yeah. Because the cookie, yeah, totally. The Cookie Monster, yeah, it's all over. It's too exciting.
Maddie Studios' podcasting career has just like embodied the Cookie Monster's transition from like when Maddie like first got in and was just like all about finance and like wanted to learn about the game and was hungry for the cookies. And then he realized what the cookies were doing to him, and he was like, yo, man,
and
we should all
cookies
be
anymore.
Right now,
sometimes.
we should all probably calm down and eat some vegetables, because those cookies are going to kill us.
Yeah, you can't, so sometimes cookies. Who would Marcel be? That's a tough one. I don't even know.
Which Muppet smoked a lot of pot?
The saxophonist in the band.
Oh, yeah, the
saxophone guy.
I think he'd be the chef.
No, Rolf, Borta, maybe, Borta, Borta, Rolf Borta. Actually had lines.
Oh, Rolf is good.
The piano.
That's not
dog.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. Angelo Gank Sue has a question that relates to this last question. He says, I want your reaction to the death of Animal from Dr. Teeth in Electrical Mayhem at the age of 66. Oh, what? That's so horrible.
David Bowie at 69. It was Glenn Frey at 67. It was Animal at 66. Who's going to die at 65?
Who's next, man? Death Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys hear Katie Seagal turned 62?
No.
She's still so goddamn hot. What the fuck?
Oh, wow. All I see is that one eyeball.
Yeah.
From Futurama.
Yeah, if I were banging her, I'd cover up one of her eyes.
Just for, like, talk to me like Leela.
I don't think
it's the Leela shit to me.
Just call me Fry. Just call me Fry. We'll make it happen. All right, let's jump to a few other questions here. All right, so here we go. Tyler Hopkins, Merc Savage, I think he's a new follower, actually, says, who is on the Heavy Meta most wanted list? Example, Will Wheaton, Worth, MTG Finance, Channel Fireball, or the modern banned and restricted list? I don't know if we have a most wanted list, Gabby. What is the list of things that we most want to take out in this world?
More, most wanted as in, like, fucking, we want to get rid of them? Damn it.
Yeah.
I was going with, like, most wanted, like, the things that we're going to need. Like,
oh, we most want?
And I don't know. Is it most wanted? I was like, well, I want more booze, and you probably most want more modern reprints.
I was just going to say Greg Leeds, right?
David Levitt is on our most wanted list.
I was going to say,
Hot Pockets.
Want those Hot Pockets coupons, dog?
No.
If anybody's got the finance
Greg
game
Leeds,
down.
In case you guys did not know, is the CEO of Wizards of the Coast.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He is not.
Know.
Really?
Greg Leeds is the CEO of Wizards of the Coast.
Does he have a Twitter account? Can we spam the fuck out of him?
No, he doesn't have a Twitter account, but he certainly has a page on Glassdoor if you want to really spam the shit out of him.
Oh, Glassdoor. Yeah, if you ever want fun, if you ever think this game is all about wizards and awesome werewolves and angels, go to Glassdoor and see the reality. Go and see the shitter covered in fucking piss. Oh, my God. That is eye-opening, my friend.
When I started creation of this game, I was like, you know what? Maybe it will be in my career path to go work for wizards and do something I love. But then you go to Glassdoor and you're like, oh, shit, LOL. Fuck that.
Yeah, honestly, one episode soon, I'm going to get all the ex-employees of Wizards on here, and we're going to just read Glassdoor just like feeds and just go through all posts, because that is eye-opening beyond eye-opening there. And if you ever wonder why you see so many tweets about, like, hey, come work for content creation at Wizards, and you're like, wow, how many people could they possibly hire? It's because it's a revolving door, dude. They're getting kicked out as soon as they're in.
Yes, and for those of you who don't know, Glassdoor.com is a website where people who have previously worked for a company can tell you what it was like to work for that company.
Which is going to, like, bias it towards, you know, sour grapes, but still.
Not all of it. There are some positive reviews that they paid.
Sure, but the bias, yeah.
Well, that's true. I mean, there is a cognitive bias that most of the things written on the internet are negative because people don't go out of their way to write things positive for the most part, unless it's exceptionally positive. And that's just like a human psyche thing.
Biases. But
it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when we think about the relationship of, like, WotC and Hasbro, no one knows. Like, I feel like a lot of it is, like, it's not that there's some, you know, agent from Hasbro who's, like, in their ears day to day. It's just, like, they're trying to do, like, what they think Hasbro wants to do. And so I think they definitely – I mean, it's tough. Like, they're, like, highly scrutinized, but they need to get their stuff together a little bit more. And I feel like, especially, it's like everyone is, like, really passionate about the game, and there's also a bias. Like, this is going to sound shitty, but if, like, if you're working at a toy company, like, in some, you know, kind of, like, indulgent looking role, you know, like, you're making Magic, so that's, like, a fun job.
Okay.
You know, people who are successful in other fields, like Maddie or myself or whoever, like they're going to think that they know better than you. Like, just because
that's true.
It sounds really
from
bad.
Experience.
So, but I can see like Corbin probably says to himself, like, man, all these fucking people all the time, like, they think they know better than us. It's like, well, yeah, like, that's just how it is.
I mean, I think that's, I know where you're going do. With yeah. that.
But
I mean, here's the thing I've learned long, and Slick can probably attest this, and probably even you, JR, and Kev even knows, is you're going to encounter problems in life, and then you're going to encounter people that are going to say they know what they're doing, and then you're going to encounter people that just fix the problem. And those people that do that are valuable. The problem is, when someone gets the power from fixing a solution, they become valuable. And if they realize their worth to that situation, they're going to want to be, you know, compensated correctly. And the problem the way Hasbro works is we'd rather pay everyone 40% below average salary and have mediocre work than to hire a professional.
I mean, that's like a Magic Online thing. And Magic Online is getting slowly better. Yeah. And
I think it's the approach to most.
It makes the game very affordable. Like, you can get in and out of decks. And yeah, I mean, especially if you have like a little land base, but
yeah, I mean, I will agree. If you're going to enter Magic, I would enter it through Magic Online over any other way. I would agree.
Like, if all you want to do is play Modern, and you don't give a shit about meeting new people, if all you want to do is play Modern, sure. Like, that's really actually pretty good.
Yep. I agree. I know TSG and a lot of people would disagree with me that paper's the way to go, but having tried to do both for 5 or 6 years now, if all you want to do is play and play affordably, yeah. You got to deal with the shit that is MTGO. It's not the best, but it can get you games at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you can play as much as you want. And if you don't want to pay, you can just build fucking decks and just keep going into this tournament room and play. Like, you can play for almost nothing once
especially
your decks are built.
When you consider that you can just get out of decks for like a 10% spread. So you know, if your deck is 500 tickets, you know, if prices don't move, you're basically just renting your deck for 50 tickets for however long you want. And of course, the prices will move, but so.
Or you just get on the beta and fucking, like.
Yeah, you guys. Like, Marcel sent me an invite a long time ago, and I was just like, oh man, you have to, like, uninstall the other one. I was like, oh, I don't know. Like,
oh, it's such a bitch. It's such a pain in the ass. I gotta say that, like, the last couple times the beta's come up, I didn't even do it because, like Marcel, I'm just like, this is retarded. I'm not going to uninstall and install this. This is just too much of a pain in the ass.
It does sound sick when it's like, you know, in the past you've been like looking at the new standards. It's like, oh man, this sounds like cheating for Maddie to just be like sitting there like.
It is. It is. Honestly, like the biggest thing that if I was to say that the hoops I went through, and it's funny because now they're just giving out MTG beta accounts to anybody. But like 5 years ago, when me and Marcel got them initially, we had to fill out forms. I had to wait 6 months for my thing to come in. Like, it took forever, and they were like probably verifying how much money do you spend on MTGO. Now they're just like throwing them out on Twitter. They're like, hey, we don't have enough people, come play. But it is awesome. If you ever want the experience of playing with the set before everyone else, that's the beta. And it's pretty dope. It is pretty cool to get to hear, you know, get those interactions in, especially like not this set normally, but a couple of sets ago, I think it was when RTR first came out, we had like 10 of us, Marcel, me, JR, a couple other people that would actually all of us go away, build constructed decks for the new format. We had like 2 weeks of playing standard before anyone else. It was awesome. And we just call each other up on Skype, so jam deck for 4 hours. That was fun. So, yeah. I mean, if you ever want that experience, it's going to cost you nothing. Hit up Worth, hit up Lee, I guess, on Twitter and try to get a beta account. I know they're hurting for people to test it. I don't know what all these testers actually do to fix the game, but whatever, guys, test away. It's a cool experience.
Basically, what Moto testers do is force WotC to release their fucking banning announcement a couple days early.
Okay, can we just say they yelled at a bunch of fucking judges for looking at some shit, and then their own code team fucking releases the beta with the fucking ban list in the code?
No, like, shit, oops. Sorry, guys. That was our bad. That's different.
That is
Was that because they were trying to get out early? They're like, oh, no one's going to be in on Monday. It's a holiday. So just, like, push this out.
Yeah, no shit.
And, like,
so like, yeah, fucking throw like, it out there. Yeah.
And then so, like, Aaron Forsythe had to be on fucking Twitter all fucking weekend.
No. The joke is that the ban leak got through the beta, but it's still not going to be live online for, like, another 2 weeks.
That's the worst joke. Slick has nailed it. The number one thing Wizards has done that me and Kevy and a lot of people have tried to balance Moto or play Moto. The fact that they just can't sync up with real life is absurd. There's no reason. There's no logical reason that you just cannot simply sync up and just do that. Because this, like, lame duck format, MTGO streaming...
It's equal opportunity employment. The people that they...
It's literally...
It's incompetence.
Worth tweeted 2 years ago. 2 years ago. We understand that the desync between Paper and Magic Online is a concern, and it's very high on our priority list.
Hey, you
fucking serious?
Yeah.
Dude, it used to be 4 weeks. It's down to 2 weeks now or three. Anyways, here's the thing that just blows my mind. That they can't simply understand that if you want to enter, like we talked about in the initial part of this cast, if streaming is so important, if getting on the front page of Twitch is important, yet your own program, you basically make every time you do this a two-week window where it's a lame duck format, which... I try to watch streams and people are like, well, I hope I don't run into Splinter Twin because you know some asshole is still playing Splinter Twin because he's like, fuck it. I'm going to totally wreck everyone.
I'm going to clean up with this while I can. But they're the ones
soon as this fucking this cast is over or I get off of it, which is probably going to be the sooner of the two, I'm going to go play Mono Blue Delver in Pauper with Cloud of Fairies for another 2 weeks. Because of their fucking inadequacies. Because all I care about is getting play points and playing Magic for free without giving Wizards money. That's all I care about. If you give me an opportunity to win, I'm going to win as much as I can so I don't have to give you motherfuckers money.
You don't want to pay to play.
That's it.
You are the antithesis of the anti-MTG finance person. They must hate people like you because there's no money to be made on you.
No, and that's why I'm telling you, motherfuckers, just draft, yo. You can laugh at everybody.
I agree. To some extent, I believe that my personal journey through this is coming to a new realization that maybe I took trying to play Modern at a certain level too competitively in terms of the time I have. And maybe, like I quoted you last week, Slick, watching it burn. Just sit back and watch it burn, man. Yeah. And just have no stress. And maybe that's very freeing. Mm-hmm. I am leaning in that direction. I think
you're always like that's the biggest thing about watching it all burn is like you know you're always still gonna have like the cards that you have like you know Moto is fine but like I mean that's I've kind of got on that kick lately. Like I have fun playing Magic. I'm still always going to have fun playing Magic. And if this game now don't get me wrong, this is not what I'm like hoping happens. But like if Wizards just fucking folds their own asshole in and just falls on their face right now, and the game is just done and over because they just make too many bad decisions in one quarter and Hasbro's all, axe, and Magic itself ceased to exist. No more fucking, you know, like, what was that fucking game that, Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever, that fucking, Robot Large, they had the fucking big thing up there, like where Robot Large is from, and his LGS had this fucking. They were all about this game. Is it the right game, Yu-Gi-Oh, or is it a different one? Anyway, they had this game going. It's one of those games, like the game that fucking Robot Large.
Kaijudo, right?
Kaijudo, yeah. Thank you.
Kaijujo.
It's Kaijudo.
So, like, you know, if Magic were to go the way of fucking Kaijudo and just fucking. They're like, okay, we're done, because apparently we can't figure out how to do this shit. I still have all the cards that I have.
and I can still
it'll
play
never
with
do that.
I know it's not going to, but
keep
worst
the
case
format going.
Worst case scenario, that shit happens, or if it becomes they're like, oh whatever, we're just printing standard cards, we don't give a fuck about anything else anymore. Like worst case scenario, I still have all the cards that I have. And there's still all the cards that have ever been printed, and we could fucking play that shit. I've kind of gone the way of, like, hey, man, I'm not going to try to keep up, especially, you know, my life having other shit going on, so I can't, like, I'm not a competitive Magic player. And I get it. It's a whole different fucking story from a competitive Magic player that's decided to fucking stake their career or, like, I'm going to try to make a living doing this. I mean, that's iffy in the first place, and congratulations to you if you can do it. But, like, hey, I like playing this game, just like you guys. None of us in this fucking, on this podcast, are trying to make a career playing this game. We just enjoy the game. We'd like to see it fucking succeed, but if not, like, fuck them. Like, if they can't stop fucking their own shit up, fuck them. Like, let them do it.
We said those exact words 5 years ago when we started this shit. That's the thing.
Let them go, and you know what? Like it's still like it's just like
you guys,
like, you know, like sometimes
you
lose
wrong.
You lose a good friend.
Wrong.
We are wrong.
You're not wrong.
We are wrong.
You are now, but you weren't then.
Who knows? I mean, you know what, Kevy? I gotta say this: if and when Magic decides to jump the shark, I'm sure that me, you, Slick, JR, we're all gonna be at an event. In a city, somewhere, and we're all going to sit around a table, and we're all going to be declaring in unity a single statement directed towards these people. What would that statement be?
Go fuck yourself, San Diego!
It was horrible, but I loved it.
Thank you, Slick, for picking that up. I was sitting there thinking, I was just staring off in the distance of all Jago. Like,
oh, did I catch you on one of those weird... What the fuck is he talking
about? Yeah. No, I was just... Yeah, well, one, it was just like, oh, we're done? That's it? Fuck.
No. We're not done, Kevy. I'm just being respectful and letting our guests get on with the rest of their night.
I just want to say one thing,
yes.
If it comes in after the music, is that JR said something that very well relates to the last bit of conversation that we had.
All right.
And that is, there are still fucking Scrabble tournaments today, man. And they haven't printed anything new for Scrabble.
I love
they
Scrabble.
They supported that game. But you know what? Oh. There's a Scrabble World Championships to this day. So if WotC fucks this up and it all dies, brother, we don't have to die with it. That's what I will leave this episode of Money Meta on.
Money Meta on.
If this game dies, we don't have to, brothers and sisters. We don't have to. That's all I'm saying.
No, we won't.
And I'm out.
Yeah, we're
thank you, sir. Thank you for coming on. JR, you've been a trip as always. I don't know if you want to stay for a little bit or head off into the sunset, but we appreciate you coming on.
I should head off. We've got the ECB tomorrow morning.
Oh man, I know all you do is see stocks stumbling and tumbling, man.
It's gonna leave you the thought like an orgasm compilation video of the same woman doesn't count as an orgasm compilation video. So that's
I no idea what that means, and I'm still just in awe.
Wow, my mind is... I'm still complimenting that.
That's the kind of shit I know if I say that on MoneyGraft. It's going to, like, edit it out, because he's like, oh, man, that's not cool. Like, you can't...
What?
Like, you just, like, what? Yeah, you just sound like a desperate loser. You can't say that kind of stuff.
That is something to think about, but I do think that's actually really true and really weird at the same time.
Yeah, and also there needs to be at least three or four. You can't have a compilation with only three, even if there's different. It's just...
So you're telling me, like, a bunch of videos of me doing the same action isn't a compilation of that action?
No. Why would it? Well, maybe a guy, because, like, he can have different loads, you know, but... a woman. Like,
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, okay. I thought you were the reverse of it. Normally, in that world that I don't enter very often, there's the whole she is being on the receiving end, and that's a compilation, not her.
Oh, no, no, I wasn't talking about, like, facial compilations. I was just talking about, like orgasms of women having, you know,
oh, that's bullshit.
Women,
yeah,
having orgasms. 100%. Like, if it's the same women, it's just like, all right, like, you know.
There's no difference, yes. Right. But again, imagine if you just cropped on the guy's face the whole time. You would, then, that's not a compilation either.
I guess. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, if, right?
So, sometimes they're, like, so, like, just funny. Like, I want to, like, tweet about porn sometimes, where I'm just like, oh, my God, like, why is this video labeled, like, guy is seduced by mom, and then in parentheses it says, not real mom. Like, what the fuck is
what? See, oh, man. I've been out of it so long, I've never even noticed that. Like, they have, you know what, though? That's one of those warnings where it says something stupid, like on easy spray oven. It's like, do not spray in your eyes, because someone once did that, right? So someone probably watched that and was like, oh, my God, this is incest.
There
called
was a
the
problem.
Police.
That's why they have to say do not eat, because there's a problem. But I love you guys.
I love you, too, man.
The whole...
Thank you, man.
Oh, God.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
This is almost
time.
Be
I haven't
scary
been on
now.
TSG yet. All three times I've been on. It's been non. So we have to.
We'll hook that.
We
up. We'll
get fix you on with a TSG. We got to make sure that you're on. Like, I mean, like, you're welcome like every week.
Oh, yeah. You can leave that shithole cast anytime you want. Come on. I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
No, you're always welcome, JR.
You're too kind.
Hey, man, David gave up on us, so we got a spot. No,
David didn't give up on us. He's like, motherfuckers, like coaching Jets in their corral.
Yeah.
But yet, like, here we are, podcasting without him.
All right, guys.
Gotta keep on. Thanks, buddy. Later, man.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Kevy, I gotta say, this is... I know you came in late there at the end, but... I'll tell you what, though. I saved a couple of questions for us, because, you know...
I need to. Like, I need to still be here. Like, this is what keeps me grounded. This podcast keeps me grounded.
Yeah. No, we've got a few juicy ones. But this harkens back to the old days when it was just me and you, and there were no police officers or teachers, you know. It was just all us just going at the fucking fan here.
Going at the fan.
Here's one for you. So Joshua Millard, Grapple asks us. He says, "Do you realize midget tossing is a real sport? Would the rest of the cast form a team and take down the Germans?" I'm 100% not sure that midget tossing is a real sport. But if it is, having probably the most experience out of everyone on the cast. I mean, I'm 90% sure, knowing all these men, that I have the highest experience dealing with those lead things. That tossing them, while it sounds doable, is much harder than you realize. They are...
There's physics involved. Like,
they're
like,
science.
The Scottish have, like, caber tossing, where they toss a big-ass log in Chile, and that's fine. Like, that shit's heavy, and you gotta toss it a long distance. But it's rigid. It's heavy,
cooperating with you.
Here's the thing people don't realize.
Exactly. Now, you can't toss a midget while he's going to just be – like, okay, you could drug a midget and then toss him, and it's probably much easier. But a live one who's conscious? No way.
I don't know. I feel like
they're going to claw at you.
I feel like it's two different sports. Because
and I'll say this, which one's more interesting to watch?
No, it's got two different. There's two different sports going on, because, like, if you drug the midget, like, it's literally like slinging a sack of fucking potatoes or lead potatoes or whatever.
Wait, see, I thought you were gonna say the sport is how do you get the midget drugged?
No. There's two different. Like, there's a lot of physics involved here. Like, it's like I said, totally. just like that.
the caper tongue. Like, if you're drugging the midget and it's passed out, it's like throwing a huge sack of fucking potatoes or something. Like, it's just gonna fucking morph and fold. But yeah, like, if you've got a midget that's fighting back, yeah, they're gonna fight back, and you might get, you know, scratches and scars and stuff. But they're also gonna like stiffen up at times. Like, you have to like read what they're gonna do. Like, you know, maybe he goes to kick you. Like, you know, and then you, like, as
and
soon
you grab
as
his
leg,
foot, and you have to go into a spin.
Now you have a locked leg, which is like a solid object, and then you have something to really fucking give some fucking
turn off
to, and like you could do like a spin, like you hold onto his ankle and you spin around like a shot put. Yeah, like kind of like a shot put.
Like a shot put.
But what's the other one where they like spin it around in a fucking? It's like
like the hammer toss. Yeah,
hammer toss. See, it's like that. As opposed to, like, just trying to throw a fucking, like, a shot put. You know, like,
no,
a shot put is just dead weight in your hands. And the hammer throw is, you can actually use the object to, you know, and gain momentum with the object and then fucking toss it. Like, there's a lot of differences. You can get a lot more.
Oh, totally. And
with a wrist.
And remember, there's supplements involved here. Like, we're not talking this is something you just do. This is something you train for. Also, the interaction of the midget and you is similar to magic, where, like, a lightning bolt is cast, and then in response, you have to interrupt and hold priority to then leverage and giant growth and then cast a distortion strike and be able to spin him in a manner.
No, I feel like the direction you need to go with that, like, if you're going to use supplements, like, I feel like what you need to do is, like, you yourself probably just need to be doing, like, the steroid thing.
Yeah, I think steroids and growth hormone probably going to do the best.
But for your midget, though, like, it's a whole different
ooh,
angle you got.
Good point.
You want him
aerodynamic. I'd shave him.
Well, you got to shave them. I figure meth is probably going to be a thing, because you want their lower body to be lighter, and like, because you're grabbing them by the ankles and you're spinning around throwing them. You want their lower body to be lighter. So we go like meth for the lower body to just shrink them up. But then you need their fucking head and their brain to be huge. So like, yeah, you're on like a strict 6-month regimen of like methamphetamines and chess. So that their brain gets bigger, but their body gets smaller, so that you have this, like, actual, like, you know, hammer that you're throwing.
I agree. We do want the central mass to be more towards the top of the head, but I do think that on the day of, I want him weaned off meth.
Another thing you could do, instead of dealing with the meth thing, is like, so another way to get them top heavy is you just, like, you know, you don't let them do leg day. You just have them get their leg going. You just have them do a bunch of upper body, and then you just tape their arms to their head. And then that way, like, the mass is going to be up top. They're going to have skinny little chicken legs. And then I still feel like you get, like, without, like, going illegal with it, like, without going, like, methamphetamine
and
chess, you just, you know, grow their brain with chess and Mozart and, you know, medical textbooks. And then you just tape their fucking just wrecked ass fucking arms to their head. And then they, like, you grab onto the chicken legs. And I feel like that's probably going to be our best.
Now we are not, now just so we're clear, the official governing body of midget tossing does not encourage, I mean, they have a very clear rule book of what's allowed and what isn't. And we're not suggesting that you, we're not suggesting that you fill your midget with lead. That's illegal or, you know, things like that. It's like picking your deck in Magic. So as you live with your midget through the years and you get him to a point where you feel you can toss him correctly. It's a relationship, you know, it's like you and the midget, he's an extension of you. But again, like, I really feel like, on the day of, you do not want them on meth. Maybe lewd them up a bit. You want them calmer. You still want them to be explosive. So maybe you give them like a quick dose of Coke right before the caper toss.
You need them skinny like a Cokehead, like from like neck down. But you also are going to need them like that's perfect. You just, you know, you're the caregiver. You give them, you know, give them the Coke. And then, like, if it's meth, they're going to find a way. Like, if you take it away, they're going to find another way.
If it's Coke and you take it away, they're going to be like, oh no, I'm coming down. And they're going to be calm. They're going to be subdued. You're still going to get the weight loss on the bottom half that you need. But like, they're going to be a lot more subdued at that point. Like meth, they're probably going to go find a way to get it. And then, like, you're not going to find them. All of a sudden, you're going to get DQ'd from the fucking tournament because, like, your midget's not there. And how are you going to throw a midget if he's not there? And, like, it's a big whole swarm of problems. But if you go the coke route, I think you're right, Maddie. Like, if you just get him all coked out of his fucking skull for, you know, a couple weeks first, and then you cut off the supply, then he's just like, oh man, I'm coming down now. And then
he'll be just in time. Yep.
He'll be skinny on the lower half. He'll be easy to grab. And then,
But he's still going to have the fire. Or maybe you taunt him that just like when the judge, like when the ref is standing there and he's like, okay, you know, 5 second warning, you're about to toss. Then, like, you slam his face.
You swing him around with all of your strength. Like, not only are you swinging him around by his ankles, but he's also like doing it with his hands. He's just running with his hands.
Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. So you know that chalk bag where you chalk your hands up? Maybe there's a separate bag full of coke, and you just slam it into his face, right? Holy and let him snort one.
Holy shit, Heavy Meta SVU event next year. I feel like that needs to happen. Just the coke bag. Like, somebody needs to bring a fucking old sock full of cocaine and just start throwing it.
No. I thought you were going to go a logical way and tell everyone to find your midget now that everyone would have one.
It needs to be a chalk bag full of coke that just gets thrown at people at random.
Okay. Well, I mean, I respect that that's a game as well. I'm banned from that sport, but that's fine. That's fine. I hope Joshua understands that we've really tried to answer his question thoroughly about midget tossing. I do believe that, though, if you put me and Kevy in charge and gave us a year, I think we could beat the Germans, 100%.
I don't know.
The Germans are going to dope.
That's fine. I am a German. How the fuck are we going to beat the Germans if we're on the Germans team?
I probably do have like 1/5 German in me too. Okay, fuck it, man. It's me against you. It's Canada versus Germans. Let's go. I could beat you.
Has Canada ever won anything against Germany besides hockey?
I don't know. I'd have to go look in the books. The Canadian Kings.
World War II. Never mind. Shit.
Sorry. World War II. We're good. We got you. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Zach Allen, A22N, a 22N or a 22N. I'm not sure what your Twitter handle means. Maybe it's A22N. He says, it's revealed TSG. Oh, this is a good question for TSG since he's not here. So this will be funny. It's revealed TSG has an extensive collection of dildos from various parts of the world, but he is still straight and married. Please speculate as to why TSG is collecting dildos and why he uses and what he uses them for. Wow. Again, this cast isn't about financial speculation, whether it be magic cards or sexual objects, but he was very interested at that time we were looking.
We were gonna fucking make a dildo. Like, we had the fucking heavy meta dildo, like the ass plug, fucking vacuum lock dildo. And he's all, you know what? I think these things are gonna go through the roof, so I'm gonna spend a lot of money right now. I'm gonna buy all these. And then when they're not able, like when they say extensive collection, I think it's just a huge collection of the same dildo over and over.
I think the
black vacuum lock fucking brass knuckles heavy meta dildo. That's the collection that he has.
I mean, we gave him the credit card to buy, you know, the tokens, and, you know, I wasn't paying a lot of attention. So maybe, you know, a couple of extra orders were ordered, but definitely, like, at the time it looked like a great speculation. I'm not sure it's paying off for him yet, but he has been known to, you know, dabble in obscure financial quarters, so I mean, this could be something. We'll have to look into that further, but one day I feel that is the appropriate gift for Heavy Meta members of something.
I'm not sure what. Members.
Yes, heavy meta members. Yeah, there you
heavy
go.
Heavy meta members.
That sounded like Sammy Davis Jr. That was awesome. Zach Allen has a follow-up question. He says, it's the return of the baby muffin syndrome. Here we go. The cast has found out Gumby contracted the horrible BMS. That is baby muffin syndrome. What does the rest of the cast do to help him, and will he make it out alive? Baby muffin syndrome is not something like normally we can make light of a lot of things on this cast, but that is something close to my heart. I feel like that and like brain cancer are just two things you don't fuck with. But if our dear friend, the Dragon Master himself, contracted that horrible disease, baby muffin syndrome. The first time we talked about this, it affected me emotionally and very deeply. And I had actually gone and started to do some very, very in-depth research to figure out a solution. And you'll be proud to know that I do have a temporary solution. We don't know chemically how to alter the brain chemistry yet to revert to non-baby muffin syndrome. But what we do have is a really great thing. We take the Oculus Rift headset.
What?
And the Oculus, the Oculus Rift, it's like that headset, that VR headset. So what we do is we give that to the person affected with BMS. And then through code and virtual technology, we just replace visually any baby that they're looking at with a muffin. And so when they look at a muffin, they see a baby. It's not the perfect solution, and it is a very, you know, it can be abused, unfortunately. We have had several test subjects that have decided to recode things and choose very bizarre 3D graphics, but that's fine. The thing is, with this solution, people won't just be eating babies. And I think that's at least the start of the cure. I don't know where it goes from there, folks. I really don't, but I think we can get them out alive. We can get him out alive. I would just tell him not to have any more kids, because who knows? It's just that one time. All it takes is one time, people.
Yeah,
you
all
forget
it takes
on.
Once. and then you get the taste of baby.
Well, it's muffin to you. That's the thing. You'll never know. That's the scary part. You'll never know.
I still think there's BMS fakers out there that are just all, oh yeah, it still tastes like muffins to me. But they really are just fucked up baby eating cannibals.
Hey, you know what? It's those damn assholes taking advantage of the government fucking security checks.
I got BMS. They totally taste like muffins to me. Can I please get some more babies? Can I please get some more babies? I need them. It's like a methadone clinic for fucking BMS sufferers.
I like the ones with carrots in them. Scott at the Booze Cube asks us, would you rather? Oh my God, Scott! Where are you?
I don't even know how to do a podcast together by ourselves anymore. This is fucking awesome.
I know, right? Scott asks us, would you rather ejaculate plus one counters or minus one counters? IPG has changed so you can come on cards and not get DQ'd.
Minus one counters, like, no fucking
How do you even come to that conclusion so rapidly? That doesn't even make sense. First, you have to lie.
Play burn. I don't give a shit. Okay, so I cast Goblin Guide and like go with your blocker. Like fucking like if I were playing like Infect, I'd go the other route. But like if I gotta pick one, if I'm just fucking popping off like knuckle children that are just, you know, minus one or plus one counters, I'm definitely going minus one. Because, I mean, shit. Like, and then like, I can even carry that over. Like, I play Burn normally, but I love my undying creatures and shit like that. Like, fucking.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think he actually specified that this was just related to dice counters, or if maybe you could ejaculate a 1-1 counter on a person and physically make them stronger or weaker.
Yeah.
Sure. Actually, I'm pretty sure that
minus one counters. Like, if I could ejaculate,
yeah, you just take people down.
Actually, I feel like you kind of can do that in real life anyway.
I know. I'm pretty sure that some people view that as plus one.
If you ejaculate on somebody, I'm pretty sure that their self-esteem just went down. Like, at least -1/-1. And
that's true.
Like, oh, okay, look at it like this. Like, if you're getting ready to fight a dude and, like, you jerk off on him, like...
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying this is something I normally do, but, like, you know, in this situation, like, you're getting ready to fight a dude outside a bar and you jerk off all over him, his morale is probably going down, like, at least -1/-1. Like...
That is not how we fight up here.
I'm saying that's how you fight, but I mean, you could take it the other way. Maybe fucking you jerk off on a dude and it pisses him off enough to be like, oh, now I'm +1/+1. Like, this dude just came on me. And, but like, I feel like if you get to finish the act and you get to, like, actually ejaculate on the dude that you're getting in a fight with, like, I'm assuming there's probably people standing around in a circle. Like, he's not going +1/+1. He's going -1/-1. Like, everybody's going to be like, dude, that guy just fucking came in your mouth. That's fucking crazy. And they're just going to fucking, and he's going to be like, man, I'm not even, this is stupid. And like, that's your -1/-1. That's when you attack.
That's when you just bolt him, right? It's over.
And he's just all, god damn it, I'm just a shitty person. That guy just jerked off on me. I didn't do anything about it. Like, he's gonna think about that for a minute, and that's his -1/-1.
He's gonna think about that for a while.
Well, I mean,
the problem is -1/-1 counters last for a long time. Even mentally.
The problem is there aren't things like this in Magic. Like, if you jerk off on a dude and then you kick his ass. Like, the next game, he's still going to be demoralized. Like, the next time he gets a fight...
He starts off at 15 life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where is that in the... Like, you know, you talk about design space and shit. Where is this in Magic cards? It's like, oh, okay, next game you start off at 15 life because your guy just got punked. Like, not only did...
You know what? Dude, hold on. I think you just invented some crazy new shit here because... The grossness of this, if you put that aside, just think about design space. That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So game one, you have some kind of effect that demoralizes your opponent so much that it starts with a detriment.
They start game two at, like, with 15 life.
I don't even know what mechanic you would call that. What would we
demoralizing? Demoralizing.
Demoralized. Demoralized -5 means you start the next game with that -5.
Your next round. Oh, at least go to game two. Like, I mean, you know, hey, like, if it's just like a demoralizing victory, then like the next round you start off fucking. No, your opponents come in, or your creatures come into play tapped. You could use this in a lot of
things. Like, dude, I think this is great. Yeah, this is impressive.
Wow.
I don't know how you track this. I don't know how you track this. I don't even know how we thought of this. But probably Scott, you know, he's got the credit.
I've seen out of Wizards that's really hard, like, you know, like, really hard to keep a hold on. Like, this would be easy to keep a hold on. It's, like, demoralized. Like, if this creature's alive when you fucking win this game, the next game, the guy starts with 5 less life, or his creatures fucking come into play tapped, or fucking, you know, demoralizing. Like, counter a blue demoralized spell, just be like, oh, counter the first spell your next opponent plays in the next fucking game because Jace just came all over you and then beat you up.
Your first spell you cast is instantly put in the graveyard because you're too demoralized. That's awesome. You get a demoralized counter. Oh, dude, I don't know, man. I think this has got legs. It does.
Back end of it is like, this creature received a demoralized head. Like, you can only beat a dead horse so much. Like, you can only beat the guy, you know, this guy so much before he comes back with like just insane rage. So it's like basically it's like, oh, okay, this creature comes into play with a demoralized counter because he's got fucking semen on his face. But like, you know, if he's in play for three turns, now
he gets enraged.
Yeah, exactly. Now he basically just gets mutagenic growth for free because he's just all, oh, that's enough, motherfucker. I got semen on my face. Everybody's laughing at me. Now I'm going to kill everybody. You know, like, he's got, like, triple strike, and he's fucking trample. And
enraged. Borbiobrius or Borbigrigmos enraged, for sure.
Enraged, but semen on his face enraged. It'd be a whole different card. Wow. Like, and careful, wow. Don't name semen on his face enraged if you mean Bobo Rigmos, like, in a tournament match.
Yeah, they're not. Don't pit the needle that incorrectly. Yes. Wow. Man, it's one of those nights. Bruce Lee, reserveless asks. Speaking of crossing the streams, in times of high drink consumption, would you ever share a regular sized urinal with a castmate? Well, he would.
Do you?
The problem that would I share if in high consumption? This is high drink consumption, sure.
I mean, consumption, I'd chase you around with my urine stream. Like you're a good enough friend. Like
the problem is you spray wide. That's what I'm worried about. How wide is your spray pattern?
All I'm saying is like I'm not saying that you have to agree to it. I'm just saying like I mean even at moderate consumption, I would chase you around with my urine stream. You guys know me better than that. Like, I'll be like, oh, look it. I'm going to get you, Maddie. Like, you might think it's funny. You might not think it's funny. Like,
I would be demoralized. I would be demoralized. That's.
See, there's so much design space. Like, you don't even there's just ejaculate on people. You can pee on a creature's leg and just.
Yes, and it's less of a demoralizing factor. Yeah. No, it's. And you could remove the demoralizing card. Maybe it's like a player's ultimate or a planeswalker's ultimate, right? You get your demoralizing card, but then maybe you get a fresh pair of jeans and boom, you know, you could get rid of that.
Yeah. Then you get a creature that has alpha male. It just demoralizes everybody. It just shits on everybody's
player. It just shits on everybody. Yeah. Oh.
Check it out, this is my battle zone. Fuck y'all.
And
the smaller ones just feel demoralized and they finally fucking get their enraged counters and they fucking clobber fuck him and like, yeah, it'll be I think that if Wizards doesn't grab onto this, which I feel like I just, you know, just feeling this out, I feel like Wizards probably isn't gonna grab this mechanic. I feel like Booze Cube maybe needs to grab onto this mechanic. Demoralized?
I'm almost 100% sure, Scott, that just name the next expansion set after us. We've got this thing. This is a brand new mechanic never seen before. Wizards may even copy you. It's that badass.
Alpha male, demoralize. Trademark, Kevin Middle.
Yeah. Trademark, Kevin Middle. Booze Cube asks us, if you stuck your dick in the Twitter hole, what kind of residue would be on it when you pulled it out? I'm pretty sure whatever it is, you'd be demoralized. That's pretty much what I'm sure. But it would be covered in filth. That's for merch. Sure.
Twitter logo.
Merch.
Merch. The Twitter logo is a bird. It's just going to be full of bird shit.
Bird. Oh, wow. That's so crazy. Kelso Balduvian Bears asks us, what do the tears of twin players taste like right now? Salty. Very salty.
They
Kelso.
Taste like beautiful.
They do. They taste like the tears of unicorns.
I don't care about this twin banning because it's like, oh, eh, whatever. Like, fucking, you don't get
well,
to
play. Well, you don't. Yeah, you don't because you don't give a shit. I do. I mean.
Literally, if they eventually ban Lightning Bolt, like, then this game's not worth playing anymore.
And well, then the game. We'll just still play the game. It just won't be under Wizards official rules. All right. He has a follow-up question, which is a good one. Modern Pro Tours going forward, ban or unban? Wow. I'm going to come full circle on this. 2 years ago, I would be like, no, Modern Pro Tours are crucial to the success of the game. At that time, though, I feel Modern was too young. currently, I actually think modern Pro Tours should be banned.
Not even close.
100%. I don't think that they should. I think modern should now, at this point, be left alone.
You want to keep watching standard Pro Tours?
I don't care. You know what? Okay, here's the truth. Unless Wizards drastically changes the way they do coverage, I don't care. I just don't watch limited GPs. I don't like limited.
I
just don't like watching it.
I'll
watch SCG Live, man.
Ever going to watch a pro tour, it's going to be a modern one.
But I'm gonna watch SCG. Here's the thing that blows my mind. I've watched pro tours, the modern pro tours. They're not like a billion times better than SCG's regular shit.
I'm not saying
is the cost of them fucking with the format worth doing this? I don't know anymore. I don't know. I don't think so, unless they change their game. Like, hey, apparently, dude, I don't even know if this is relevant to you. Well, here's the thing. They're upgrading all their shit, so now they got 4K. Apparently, they're going to have it in 4K. Here's the thing. Guys, 1080p was fine, man. I don't know anyone that's streaming shit in 4K yet. You know what matters, though? How about you just make sure the lights don't reflect off the cards so we can fucking read them? How about that?
Or keep it exactly the way it was and funnel that money into Moto so that people will care about that side of the game.
Also that, right? Or save the money you would waste fucking with the Modern Pro Tour and just make a Modern Masters every year. I personally don't know. I will say this. The big case has been that this is going to increase viewership.
I saw my only thing is like I don't care to watch Pro Tours anymore except for a modern one. Like, I'll watch a modern Pro Tour. I don't care to watch standard Pro Tours. Like, I just, I don't know.
I don't either, dude.
Maybe it's just my community.
Yeah, where you are in the game, I 100% agree. I do like watching when standard's fresh. I think that's interesting because you want to see. But then once it's, like, established, I'm not that excited. Especially, like... Yeah. When a set doesn't impact standard, then it's really boring. So, I don't know. And limited Pro Tours are really boring for me. I just don't. Like, the limited rounds are just not exciting. They just aren't.
Four,
I don't know why.
We have four Pro Tours here, right?
We do, yeah. And the World Championships.
Yeah,
so.
We got four Pro Tours a year. Why don't they just do a different fucking format every fucking turn? Like, why don't we go fucking standard?
They already said that. Dude, they said it because it doesn't sell sets. Here's what I don't understand, and I agree. SCG, invitational format, man. First rounds are limited, then it's standard, then it's modern. Or make modern in the middle and standard your top eight. I don't care. Give something for everyone. I don't know. Whatever.
No, like, I mean, even, like, do your limited. Like, show your fucking player skills. Do your fucking limited of whatever fucking set you want to do. Like, you know, theme it fucking, you know, if it's new standard set, do fucking like the new set and fucking and then standard. And like if it's a modern pro tour, be like, oh, hey, we're doing fucking modern masters limited and we're doing modern fucking like do a legacy.
That
fucking
sounds
like, make them all do fucking legacy and then make them all do fucking
awesome.
Vintage too. Like, you know what? Like you have four pro tours in here. You got four main pro. Hey. I don't give a shit. Like, honestly, this is me. Like,
I don't. I just.
I would like to see.
I think SCG is the one. Like, the second tier broadcaster is the one to do legacy, vintage, and I believe modern. I personally believe that. I think it's time for modern to be taken away in terms of watching it and just leave it.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you can fucking do this shit.
Well, let's move on to the next question because we got a good one. Roy Flieger, Run Thunder Snow. Run Thunders now? Run Thunders now? Or Run Thunder Snow? He says, have you seen the new Suicide Squad trailer yet? If not, stop what you're doing, watch it, and then talk.
I'm not going to do that.
I have. I saw it, and it's fucking amazing. Roy, dude, the trailer, first of all, I love how they do the DC logo and they make it different for every movie and they got the color on it. It looks insane. This movie looks amazing. I am fucking super excited. I think it looks fucking awesome. I'm more excited to see that than Superman and Batman. I don't know. Something about Superman versus Batman just does not look interesting. Even though it's Superman versus Batman, man, Suicide Squad looks fucking great. So I'm excited. Kevy, your homework is to watch it and come back and tell me next week.
Okay, deal. Because I'm not going to do that shit right now.
All right. No, don't do it right now. He has a follow-up question that says, you guys wanted your villain in Magic, so you got one at the last Modern SCG Open with the guy who got away with the Borborygmos. I don't know if he was necessarily a villain. I mean, I think he was... I mean, to me, honestly, I know I don't want to jump on Ari Lax, but I feels like something he would do. Because he's going to play the game to the absolute limit of the rules. And, you know, if you're allowed to game the rules to a point where it's dirty and scummy, then change the fucking rules. I don't think that's a villain. I think a real villain would have been a guy that would have lost, and he just, like, gets up, folds his chair in half, and just fucking cracks the guy right across the head. And he's like, fuck you for trying to stop me from naming Borborygmos, right? Like, that's villain.
I still am waiting for the villain that just flips the table on coverage. Like, just
oh, my God, and, please.
Like, you don't have to assault the guy. Like, you don't have to fucking crack a fucking chair over dude's head. But, like, the villain that I'm looking for is, like, somebody that should have won. Like, somebody that maybe got fucked on the rules, and it's just like, you know what, fuck you guys, and then flips the fucking table, just tips the table over. I mean, we'll start in baby steps.
Full on 180 degrees.
Just tip the table over. Oh, no, like, let him catch his fucking eyes while he's got two fingers under the fucking edge of the table, and then just fucking, like, the camera just staring down his beady little eyes, and then just be all, bloop. And fucking flip the table, or just look at his eyes right before he just brings the cross arm across the table and just smears the cards everywhere, and it's just all fuck you guys. But then everybody in the whole goddamn Magic community is just like, that guy deserved to win, and he got fucked. I totally agree with what he did. Of course, you're gonna have your conservatives or your liberals that are gonna say, oh no, fucking, well, he was wrong in what he did. Like, I understand what he might have meant, but like, that was wrong. Yeah, fuck him. Like, just let the guy fucking smear the fucking cards across the table and be like, fuck you, I'm done.
I am all for more emotion.
Yeah.
I really
believe you're right. And then everybody's everybody in the community is going to be like, oh, yeah, I would do the same shit if I got fucked like that at a high-level tournament. And then everybody's going to get on that guy's side. And then you start your rivalry. But, like, Wizards doesn't want to do that because they want to keep it all fun for everybody. They want everybody to, like, finish their game and be gentlemen about it. Or gentlewomen about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, For me,
if Owen Tweetenwald gets screwed over again and the guy obviously, like, cheats him out of, like, the trophy. If he doesn't flip the table, like, that rage, I want to see the rage. I want to see him pause. Like, you're correct. I want to see him jerk, stand up with two fingers under the table, but pause for like a second, just long enough to let the camera go right on his eyes and then just flip. Boom, gone.
But see, you know what's going to actually happen? Yeah, because it's Wizards coverage, like, what's going to actually happen is we're going to see the whole thing happen in real time before they realize what's going on, because the guy that's supposed to be taking care of all this shit and, like, actually cutting away when bad shit's going on is, I don't know, busy judging the other fucking table. Like, because they fucking money into it. And so, like, what's going to actually happen is, like, the guy's just going to look like an asshole. And there's going to be, like, no, you know, feud building or anything like that. It's just, like, the guy's going to look like a dick. No, nobody's going to understand what's going on. They're just going to be like, oh, that guy flipped the table over. I wasn't sure. They cut away to another match, like, halfway through the table flipping over because they panicked. And then we're going to watch, like, I can't say Splinter Twin match.
No, you can't.
We're going to not watch another burn match.
A burn match. There you go. No, I honestly feel like that's just the way to do it. I don't know. Right. I mean, whatever. Here's a beautiful one. Yeah, here's a beautiful one.
We're going to do what we want.
Cartel Aristocrats asks us, why is MTG Finance awesome? Find out in 6 easy clicks how to stay at home. Stay at home, mom make $5,000 a month, players hate her. I don't even know what that means, guys. I think you guys have some type of brain dyslexia and can't tweet correctly, but I like where you're going. 60 steps. That's definitely the way to do it.
Sounds great.
I believe so. I think that's just the way you do it. Oh, wow. J-Ray 00. I think he's a new follower. Boom. We got like so many new followers in the last like 2 weeks. I don't know why. Maybe because I was ranting like a nutcase. he asks us, what is your food of choice during sex? Wow. Pussy?
I think I saw that one earlier.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm eating and having sex. Me and my wife once tried the whole chocolate, which, wow. Man, yeah. I don't know if I should tell that story.
It's two different things. Like, eating and having sex are two different things. Like,
I've never been one for, like, eating a hoagie. I get it.
Yeah, like, people try, like, yeah, they're all, oh, there's foods that are fucking aphrodisiacs, like, you eat oysters and fucking, yeah. Like, no, why?
No,
like,
oysters and sex? No, dude, that's demoralizing.
No shit. No, but, like, have this fucking, like, this whole, like, oh, there's sexual foods and stuff, like, I'm sorry, I've never been one of those, like, sexual foods.
I disagree.
No, like...
No, and strawberries, look, here's the thing. Do I want to eat a strawberry? Sure. Do I want to eat it covered in chocolate? Maybe. Do I want to eat it covered in chocolate as I, like, wipe it off of your ass?
While we're doing it?
No. I really don't. I'm sorry. And I don't know. Like, maybe it works differently the other way around, but I feel it's probably
more demoralizing than we realize. My favorite sexual food is after sandwiches.
Yeah. Oh, now after is a different story.
That's one word. After sandwiches.
After sandwiches? I'll say this. My favorite after meal would be like going out for like you go to those all day breakfast places.
Oh no, going out? Fuck you! Like after you're done doing it, like after sandwiches, like the quickest, easiest thing you can fucking fill your belly up with, so you can go to sleep.
Okay. Well, I didn't know what time of day you were doing this.
Going out to anything. Fuck you.
Okay. After sandwiches or after cheeseburgers, that's how it rolls.
Exactly.
I'm down. Les Kershaw, good old Who Is Les, man. We don't hear enough from him. He says, depending on the results of the Pro Tour, what will be in the ban watch list in the Wizards of the Coast toilet? I don't know if he's asking us what's on the next ban list or if the ban list is just in the toilet. Maybe both. Maybe it's a bit of both.
I missed it. Okay, what did he actually ask? Like, what was the wordage?
Okay, you were probably not here for the... apparently, there's been talk going around about a ban watch list. Yeah. So what that would be is public information where we would see, hey, Splinter Twin is 90% likely to be banned next time. Okay, so that's the ban watch list.
You mean Twitter?
Well, no, I mean an official.
Reddit, like where everybody's just like, that shit's probably gonna get banned.
No. But no one saw Twin getting banned. That's the point.
Nobody saw Twin getting banned. Bullshit. Everybody saw Twin getting banned because Twin was winning.
No, it wasn't. Twin was losing. That's what's crazy. Twin, last year, then I would have been like, sure. Twin has been on the decline. That's what's crazy. I don't know where they're getting their data from. I disagree with that whole thing, but whatever. Yeah. But his question is phrased, what will be in the air quotes, ban watch list, end air quotes, in the Wizards of the Coast toilet now? So I assume he's maybe making the jest that they keep the ban watch list in the John. At Wizards of the Coast. I'll say this. I feel honestly like they're going to let us play with the Eldrazi pieces. Even no matter if they all win, if it just crushes everything, they're going to let us play with Eldrazi parts for a year. That sounds so filthy. But they're going to let us play with all the Eldrazi shit because they're not going to ban it. The set just came out. It's going to look horrendous for all these casuals who just played Battle for Zendikar and Oath and then like, hey, I got some Eldrazi. Oh, they're banned? So nothing's getting banned for at least a year there. I think
my call knowing WotC, they're going to ban Wild Nacatl and Bitter Blossom.
No, they won't. Here's the thing. Burn, even if Burn...
They're all, wait, we unbanned those, and they didn't do anything, but fuck it, let's ban them.
If Burn even goes through the roof, all the parts are so... non-integral and easily swappable that it's hard to ban that deck out.
No, they're not.
Even if you ban Goblin Guide, like, I don't think it hurts that deck that much. So I don't know what you would ban. Well, Lightning Bolt, like you said, is sadly a card you'd ban. But the problem with Lightning Bolt is it's too integral to the rest of the format, so you can't do that. I'm not sure. I don't know if they ban anything out of Burn. Robots? There's a few pieces in there that are is oppressive, but the deck is kind of like what they want, although that's what they said before. I think it all comes down to what happens. Now, Tron has got the biggest mark on its head. So for me, I feel like
Tron's too easy to get around. Like there's way too many ways to beat Tron.
I feel like Tron, I don't know the results. Maybe Tron sucks ass and who cares?
Here's the thing with Tron. Like, Tron can be an incredibly strong deck. Tron can be huge if nobody's sideboarding against it, or if, like, some shit like this happens where, like, if a deck falls off that keeps Tron at bay, like, That's the whole thing. Like, you've been talking about, like, all night, like, since this shit happened, like, fucking Tron might be a fucking thing. Tron might be a thing. Yeah, Tron might be a thing, and it might be a deck, but it's not going to be fucking oppressive at all whatsoever. It's not even close to banworthy because, like,
all right.
Everybody was dealing with their sideboards were dealing with Splinter Twin. Now, if Tron becomes even close to an oppressive deck in this format, there's so many ways to deal with Tron that are not even like they're just like, you know, one shot, like, silver bullet answers for Tron. Like, they just hose Tron. Like, if the format shifts to where Tron gets fucking big, yeah, Tron will get shut down real fast. Like,
that's what I'm saying though. If this Pro Tour, I personally don't believe any results from the Pro Tour are going to get anything banned. It's going to take multiple months of performance.
The metagame's going to shut Tron down. If Tron even starts to get big, I don't. But the metagame will shut Tron down if Tron gets big. It's very easy to do. Like,
Here's the one deck I feel that, like, probably has the biggest likelihood, and that's Infect. And here's why. Infect can kill you on turn two. And Infect has a mechanic that is inherently unfair from the beginning. So if they're going to ban it, if they ban Ink Moth Nexus, I think that just, personally, I think that just kills that deck. It also hurts robots. So that's a card. Ink Moth Nexus is, I think it's got a bullet on its head. Maybe one day. We'll see.
I could see maybe it having, like, I could see out of anything having a target on its head, but I also don't see it, like, being, like, you know, go fucking dump Ink Moths, because it's not that big deal. Like robots, you know, robots is a strong fucking deck, but it's not huge. Like, we'll see, you know.
Robots is pretty big, dude. Robots is everywhere. That deck is also getting worrisome, but I'm all for this. I'd rather not ban anything. I'd rather just print some answers or print new cards, man. Like,
here's a perfect example. Like, print some answers. That's exactly the fucking point. Like, I guess where I'm at recently is print some answers. Like, fuck it. Like, you don't have to print answers. You don't have to print answers that fucking break standard. Like, you just fucking print some shit that works okay in your fucking standard limited fucking format or your standard format that's, like, an okay card, but also happens to have, you know, that wordage that kind of hoses shit in fucking modern that you want to get rid of. Like, what is that? Oh, god damn it. I'm going to hate myself for not being able to call it up, but it's a green card. And it's the reason Boggles isn't around anymore. The reason Boggles isn't a deck anymore. It's the answer for Boggles. It's like fucking I want to say mastery of something, but like it's a green card. You fucking tap
Nature's Claim.
No, god damn it, this is gonna.
What does it do? Kill all enchantments?
No.
What does it do?
It gets rid of fucking Hexproof and
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that new card that you can remove Hexproof for a turn.
I don't think for the turn you remove Hexproof and Shroud or whatever. I agree.
They need more cards like that.
So, Boggles is not a fucking deck anymore. And you can't use Boggles because that's your fucking sideboard answer. Like, the way Boggles works. It's the same shit with Infect. Like, if you printed a card in a new set, there's just like all fucking, all fucking...
They did it. It's called Malira, but...
Yeah, all Infect. Well, there is that.
We have it. We already have it. Like, it's the thing is, the card is... when you only have 15 sideboard slots... It's a metagame, and that's the point, right? We'll give you shit. The thing I think a lot of people don't like about Modern is that sideboard cards are so powerful that if you just sideboard correctly to your matches, you're very likely to win. So I don't know. We'll move on to more interesting questions, but
Maybe they'll crush the sideboard next. Maybe
instead of you go. Imagine if you had no sideboard. Wow, what a different game that would be.
Keep playing Burn.
I don't like that. We'll leave the sideboard where it is. Tommy Moles asks us, he says, if you could stick a fruit up your mortal enemy's asshole, what fruit would you choose? The hole jumped in. So Travis at Delinquent Pub, he said pineapple. Les said pineapple. But then Chris Combs, good old Chris Combs, he says there's a fruit called a durian. I don't know if you're on Twitter, but there's a picture of what a durian looks like, and it looks like a ratchet bomb. Like, that's the most scariest thing I've ever seen, and I would not want that anywhere near me. So, Chris, you are correct. The answer is a durian. Go check that out. Pretty gross. We only got a couple more left, so let's see what we got here. Xenagos Blood Moon. Oh, good old Xenagos. He jumped in on the midget question. He says, also, Midgetastic needs to be added to the next non-magic side event at the next SVU gathering alongside Salmon Ball.
He was one of the founders of Salmon Ball, so I guess I trust him
if, we want to make him a founding member of Midget Tossing. I'm sure he would definitely be on point there, 100%. Joshua Millard asks one more question. Says, can I hire Kevin Metal to play music at my funeral? That will happen by the time I'm 30 because of all the liquor and drugs. I hope you don't die, buddy. Don't do that. That's not cool. But Kevin Metal would play outright.
Hey. No. I got something to say about that. You're not going to die by the time you're 30. I thought I was going to die by the time I was 30 from all the liquor and drugs. You're not going to. You're going to have to just grow up at some point. Like, you're going to grow up later than everybody else. And you're going to be like, oh, shit. All right. I guess it's time to grow up now. Maybe it'll work out for you. Maybe it won't. I don't know. It depends on my schedule. I might show up and play music.
I don't know if he even does it anymore.
That's the thing right now. Like, here's a thing that the universe doesn't know right now. Like, I am on a, I guess we'll call it a hiatus from the Barstool Saints. Pretty much I'm not playing with the Barstool Saints anymore. But it's kind of a hiatus. We split for creative differences. But I've also been told that I need to come back at some point. Because
just every time you think you're getting out, they got to pull you back in, buddy.
Because this isn't working the way that we planned on. Right now I'm kind of focusing on my life and my own music and, guns and shit. So maybe I'll come play my own music at your funeral, which would... I don't know if you want me to do that.
It's pretty dope. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty dope funeral to me. Last question just popped in the hole. We're going to give it to you. Workhorse 0_Layfield asks us, what's your best, dirtiest joke? Jesus Christ. I have no idea, man.
My best, dirtiest joke. Like I'm not a joke teller. I'm not fucking Jason Alt up in this bitch.
I know, right? I'm like, you can't put us on the spot like that shit. I used to know all kinds of dirty jokes.
There was one I vaguely remember. It's something like, dude goes to the doctor, he's gonna fucking... forgive me if I fuck this up, because I'm hammered and I don't tell jokes. But, like, dude goes to the doctor, and he's like, doc, I got a problem. I woke up, I was drinking all night, and I got this fucking... this problem with my dick. There's a red ring and a brown ring. And the doctor...
All
right, we're going to take some tests. We're going to see what's going on. We're going to figure out what's going on with you. And he comes back and he says, you want the good news first or the bad news? And the guy's like, well, of course the good news. He's like, the good news is the red ring is lipstick. And he says, all right, well, what's the bad news? He says, well, the brown ring is chewing tobacco.
I didn't see that coming at all, dude. I didn't see that coming at all. That's good. That's a fucking good
one.
That's
like your dad joke corner of the fucking podcast.
The dad joke corner, dude. That was fucking good. That was a good one. I was like totally going like, what? It's got to be an ass joke? What the
fuck? It's got to be an
asshole. It's got to be an asshole, right? That's what we do. Oh, man. Oh, that was a good way to get us out of there, man. That was well done. That was a
go fucking.
You know what? I didn't think you were going to come through with that joke.
What you say?